one needs to make at this meeting?
Not at this point.
Okay. And we have no presentations except for the formal ones, so we'll just move on. We'll open public comment, and this is specifically for public comment, not addressing items on the agenda, because we will give you an opportunity after we hear the presentations for public comment on that. But I understand that there's at least one gentleman who may not be able to stay for that, so if you would like to come forward at this time and give your public comment, that would be fine.
My name is Bill Fritsch, longtime resident of Morro Bay. Staff report prepared by RL, Department Review RL. That's a conflict of interest, in my opinion. It also sounds like he's already employed by Fathom, and he's a cheerleader, but that's another story. I want to hear this board have a complete rejection of privatization of the water system in this town. It's a complete mistake. I'd like to see a total repudiation and a denigration completely. It's just bad policy. It's completely wrong. If you want an example, all the survivors in New Orleans after Hurricane Katrina, FEMA was hauled out, corporatized by the Bush government. Central and South America, almost any government down there was privatized, hauled out. They couldn't respond to necessary needs. Privatizing this water system will send jobs to a corporation in Arizona, I understand. That means the people here in town will not be able to do their jobs, which means they'll lose their jobs, is my understanding. It's a waste of our taxpayer dollars. They're going the wrong way. You're going to lose the flexibility, accountability, reliability. I don't know what else to say. I just want to see a total repudiation of this. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Before anyone else comes up to speak, I did want to mention we are going to have public comment on the agenda item later. If you cannot stay for that, you may come forward now. And I do want to say, because we have a crowd, we are adhering to the three-minute rule, so I'm going to be nasty with you if you take longer.
Good evening, Chairman McPherson and board members. My name is Linda Merrill, and I would like to speak on another subject other than...
Great.
I'm really concerned about signs that are just being tacked up on the cyclone fencing around town. Our staff has responded to several of them that have been... I don't know where they get them, but they seem to be endless. And they're sometimes like 3 by 5 feet, and they tack them up wherever they feel like tacking them up, on the cyclone fencing or the sides of buildings or wherever they feel like it. So apparently we now have code enforcement, and these people could be fined like $50 if they're caught with putting these signs up. So I would encourage people, please don't put signs up wherever they are. I know it's free advertising, but I think it's a bad idea. Thank you.
Thank you. Betty, are you going to speak to the item on the agenda?
No.
Okay.
Thank you. I'd like to speak on behalf of actually Morro Bay Beautiful. My name is Betty Winholtz. For more than 2.5 years, the Morro Bay Tree Committee has met and helped identify tree consistent with the Morro Bay environment, planted trees. Two active members of the tree committee are Councilmember Mr. Smuckler and Taylor Newton of Guerrilla Gardeners. The work of this tree committee has contributed to the adoption of the Morro Bay Urban Forest Management Plan, as you know, October 14, 2014. And the plan includes this following statement, quote, "The City of Morro Bay is committed to a beautiful community through the use of trees and maintaining a healthy urban forest, resulting in improved air quality, reduced heat, and enhanced wind protection. The city has been designated a Tree City USA for more than 23 years. Building upon this tradition, as of this date, the City Council adopts the Urban Forest Management Plan. Through this plan, we seek to ensure that all benefits of a healthy urban forest are available to Morro Bay residents and visitors," unquote. Now, we noticed that someone or some group has planted quite a number of cactus in the city tree wells along Quintana, both sides of Morro Bay Boulevard, North Morro Bay, and the Embarcadero. In a number of such cases, the weeds were not removed first, and so the cactus is in the middle of weeds and hard to pull the weeds because you don't want to hurt your hand, and draws attention then to those weeds. Questions arise as to who paid for these cactus and who did the work, and do we really want cactus on our city streets? The question for us is, we have an official tree list, and these are not on the tree list. Therefore, we would like to have Morro Bay Beautiful would like the city to simply talk to the person or groups who planted the cactus and who did this without permission, and ask them to remove the cactus now, while making them aware that the official tree list is what we abide by. Leaving unapproved plants for any period of time causes problems, and we know that these tree wells will be filled when it's the right time and the rains come.
Thank you, Betty. Mm-hmm. Thank you. Okay. Any other public comment, especially on items not on the agenda? Okay, then we'll close public comment. We have the consent calendar. We have the minutes of the June 18 meeting. And before we approve them, I just want to speak up for the old guys in town. I did this at the last meeting. I was questioning our new structure for meeting minutes and was told that this is the new way we're going to do it and go to the YouTube videos. And I think that that's really kind of contrary to our stated goal of encouraging more citizen participation and awareness and information, especially taking into consideration people that aren't quite as tech savvy as some others. So I actually did try to use it and looked at the meeting, our last meeting, and I wanted to go to one discussion. I ended up having to listen to the whole meeting. So, there may be a way, but I just want, and I would like that in the minutes. Just maybe we could have a training session, but I'm not sure that it is customer focused. Thank you. Now we can have a motion to approve the minutes.
I move to approve the minutes of the June 18th meeting of the Public Works Advisory Board as stated.
Okay. Second?
I'll second.
Jan seconds. Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Okay. We're going to now delve right into the main purpose of this meeting. We had the last meeting, and I think all of the advisory board members who were present had a number of questions, and we asked Rob to come back with some more information so that we could make a recommendation. And just to let you know, of course, we are just advisory, and we are going to consider a recommendation on this proposal that will be forwarded to the City Council for its August meeting. And I just wanted to tell you how we're going to proceed tonight. We're first going to have a formal presentation by Rob and Fathom. And then the board members will have an opportunity to ask questions only. And then we will invite public comment. And then we will have a discussion and make a recommendation. So that's the way we'll proceed. And I am going to ask the board members, if it's all right with you, if we hold our questions to the end, because we have a lot of public members present, and so if they have questions about the presentations, maybe we could just take notes and then ask them at the end. Is that all right?
Sounds good.
All right. Great. So we'll turn it over to Rob.
And we have a guest here at our PWAP that we usually don't see. Our city manager, Dave Buckingham, will have some few opening comments.
All right. Well, welcome.
I'll have some comments, and we'll turn it over to Fathom.
Okay. Thank you. Welcome, Dave.
Great. Thanks. So I'm, among other things, trying to make my rounds to get to all of our advisory boards and commissions on a regular basis. I'm sorry it's taken me 9 months to get to the PWAB. Perhaps you should meet every month or every week or two, and it'd be easier to get to one of your meetings. Thanks for the work that y'all do. It is important work, and I am learning more and more how critical it is for everything that we're working on that we take to the council to route through our great board. So I see that, I appreciate it, and I thank you for that. I just wanted to give you on this item a little bit of the city perspective. is sort of why we're here. And back in February, when the City Council approved the 73 discrete objectives that they gave the staff to complete this year, one of those objectives was to research and bring to Council for decision a contracted arrangement for automated water meter reading and billing. So that's why we're sort of coming here, is the Council asked us to research this and to bring it to the Council, clearly bring it through the PWAB to get your great insight into it. And thank you for doing two meetings on this. And really, this is, as we look at this, this relates to a number of our other stated city objectives for the year. So there is a specific objective under water supply diversification for conservation. This came up actually at the Water Conservation Summit action item at the City Council meeting last night. We believe, and we want you to ask the questions and believe or disbelieve that automated water meters will have a positive effect on conservation in Morro Bay. Bottom line is we anticipate that empowering consumers, residents, to see their usage on a 15-minute by 15-minute basis will have a measurable conservation effect. That's my assessment. That's what happens in my family, and so I encourage you to ask those questions. But I regularly sit down with my five kids at the computer and look at our electricity usage the previous day, and talk them through, okay, why did it spike there? Who left the lights on? And those sort of things. And that has an effect on our usage in our family. So that kind of transparency, that kind of empowerment to the consumer, we think will have a positive effect on conservation. The city is 1% short of our state-mandated conservation goal. You know that well. We're at 11%. We need to find another 1%, and this sort of a system could help with that. Another one of our stated goals is in the area of fiscal improvement. We believe that the math is quite good in this system. I'll address the jobs question in a moment because I think it's really important. But our assessment is that we will save, I'll say, ratepayer dollars over the long term by going to this system. Another one of the stated objectives is public information, to do better with public information, both directions, to provide our citizens better information and to hear better from our citizens. And it sort of relates also to technology. And I'm sorry you had the challenge with the YouTube clip, but those two goals, to improve technology and specifically customer-facing technology. So we are investing this year, for example, and you all are part of this process, in web-based customer-facing permitting for building permits, planning permits. Most of that's going to the Planning Commission, but some of it is our work order system. And so we're looking across the spectrum of city operations on how we can improve customer-facing technology, not just to streamline operations in the city, but to empower customers, to give them to be able to click and see where your planning permit is in the system. And this is a part of that, because we're enable our residents, our customers, to click and figure out how much water you used in the last hour or last night. And again, that goes to conservation. So I'm not going to perhaps I'll ask for a moment sometime later in the conversation to summarize some of the other thoughts as I hear some of the responses also and the questions that you ask. But just a couple of things that I'd like to hit up front, because I think they're important. One is that this is not a rate increase. There is no water rate increase associated with this.
Would you repeat that?
Yes, there's no water rate increase associated with this.
There is no water rate increase associated with this.
That's correct. So the City Council, with as you know, there was a Prop 218 process. The new water rates for the next 5 years are set. There is no way to increase those water rates without going through another Prop 218 process. And frankly, those are maximum water rates that are set. We are committed as a city, and we're bound by law, only to collect the revenue that's required to provide the service. We are not, it is illegal for us to collect substantially more revenue in rates than it takes to provide the service. And so we have set, the council has set maximum water rates for the next 5 years, and but there is not a requirement to raise the rates to the maximum level. So as we, so in fact, if this this system or any other systems or savings or conservations allowed us to provide a more efficient water service, then we would in fact not have to raise rates as much as we plan to. Granted, I do not anticipate that this is going to be a significant savings on water rates. In other words, they're projected to increase, as you know well, unfortunately, double in the next 5 years. This is not going to cause them to only go up 50%, but it may save an important 5 or 7% that is important for many of our challenged customers. I have a concern. I ask you to pepper Fathom about this and pepper the staff, but one of the things I talked to them about recently or today and to Rob is we only had one company respond to the request for proposals. The request was open for 6 full weeks, which is a more than adequate time for companies to respond, but we did only get one response. My sense is because this company is one of the few, if not the only, companies that has the turnkey operation that we are looking for. There are other companies tend to try to put together teams to respond to that, to respond to proposals like this. They sort of cobble together some meter makers and some billing people, but our my assessment is that Fathom provides a turnkey operation, and frankly, what I would tell the council is your staff doesn't have the time with all the other priorities you've given us for us to try to go out and put something together and get meters from here and a billing service from there. And in fact, importantly, our billing operations are already under contract. Another is probably the third important point is that we have billing services that are contracted. We have a mailing service to mail those bills that are contracted, and we have a meter reading service that's contracted. So one of the things that this does is to consolidate multiple contracts into one contract, which is a best practice across industry and government. You almost always pay more if you have 5 different contracts instead of one contract. There is a safety question. There is a concern on the part of some residents of having automated readers or meter readers. There was clearly a big concern when PG&E was putting in smart readers. So I think it's important that you ask the questions and get that out. What I understand is that the wireless system that is in place will essentially the wireless antenna wakes up every 15 minutes and sends out a signal. That signal wakes up the water meters that are in the public right-of-way, the wireless part of that water meter, and that water meter sends a millisecond burst, wireless burst, that's similar to, that's no greater than what you have in a wireless home router. And it sends that millisecond burst of the last 15 minutes worth of water use data and then goes back to sleep. So effectively, it is like turning on a wireless router at the end of your driveway for a millisecond every 15 minutes. That is the electromagnetic impact. Jobs, I appreciated very much the comment on jobs and the effect on our local economy. I met this morning, actually, on another subject, but we got onto this one because I care about it with our entire water team. Let me go to privatization first, because that was a separate issue. So the concern about privatization, this is not a privatization of our water system at all. Our collections department remains in place. Jamie James and his team carry around the 24/7 emergency phone. They will continue to respond to customers anytime that they are called. We will continue to, as a government entity, manage our entire water distribution system and the wastewater collection system and the wastewater management part of that. So this is not a private. We are not privatizing the water distribution in the city of Morro Bay. We are consolidating some of the contracts that we already have in place for billing and for some aspects of customer service, and then considering the install of automated meters that can be read wirelessly. And those are currently read under a contract, not by city employees, by a at least a regional company that does meter reading. So the guys that ride around on the scooters and read meters. When I met with our water team this morning, Jamie James, Devin, Trevor, Greg, Dustin, those guys. So your water team, your water distribution team is. They think this is a good idea. They see some real benefits to this. One of the benefits I had no idea until I talked to them this morning was there's at least 1%, if not more, and we're pretty conservative on those things, of our residents who cheat our water system and who have identified ways to disable their water meter. In fact, we sometimes have residents, and this is nearly a full percent, who register negative water use during a month by unscrewing their water meter and turning it around backwards, and then it operates backwards. Dustin and Greg found one of those yesterday morning here in Morro Bay, We can't figure that out. I'm sorry. We only see that once a month, and if the resident / thief forgets to turn it around the right way, so they don't register a negative use. with this system, we would know immediately if a water meter started registering negative, because it measures every 15 minutes. On jobs, to be absolutely clear, I am hopeful that this will reduce the full-time benefited employees in the city by one. I should say not employees, positions. So there is one position that's a full-time CalPERS benefited position that does water service, customer service at the desk at City Hall. We assess that this system would allow us not to require that position, but we have already identified another position, and frankly a broadening position, for Charlie, who's that great employee that's in that job right now. She would remain a city employee and go to another job in the city. But for full disclosure, yes, we would be reducing the number of full-time benefited employees or positions in the city by one without laying off any employees. Okay, those are the key things I sort of wanted to hit up front, and I'll turn it over to Rob and then to Fathom.
Thank you, Dave. I just wanted to clarify a couple of things in my staff report. There may have been confusion with the tables, and so the first table where it talks about estimated annual meter reading, utility billing, customer care costs, those were our attempt to compare apples to apples. So it's Morro Bay's cost in the first row, starting with $277,000, and Fathom's costs in the second row for only those functions. It doesn't include the capital cost nor the meter data management portion of it. So it's comparing the functions that we already do to that portion of Fathom's costs. If you were to add the capital costs to the $277,000, you would end up with $587,094 in that year one compared to our $277,000. Now, if you go out to year 15, City of Morro Bay costs using the inflation factors and escalations that are in our 10-year financial forecast, average inflation of 2%, wage increases of 2%, and then a 0.5% increase in benefits, our costs go up to $685,670 per year, where Fathom's costs using an escalation factor. You don't see this in your table. No. These are numbers that were put together for the graph that's in there, with Fathom's total cost of $659,475. So there is a crossover in outer years where we see a benefit, a financial benefit to the city, where we're paying less for that, those contractual services, and that is shown on the graph that is on page 2, where the total costs cross over at somewhere between year 13 and year 14. So net positive costs. Some perspective on those costs. I think they have $3.2 million-ish to do the capital construction portion of this, to install the meters, all new brass, meter registers, radios. For us to do that for the same number of meters would cost approximately, we were looking at about $400 per meter. So we're talking over $2 million, and we're left with dumb meters that don't register electronically. Compare that to, so you don't think we're over-inflating the numbers. The cost to do a complete water service in the city of Morro Bay, time and materials, labor and materials, is for one meter is $1,423 is what we charge our customers for a 3/4-inch meter installation. As Dave said, this does help the city to meet their five of their goals of the 73. And with that, I'm going to turn it over to Jason Bathke from Fathom to go over their presentation. Then we'll have questions from the board and then public comment. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Welcome back.
Thank you for having me back. Let me see if...
I've never seen that blue screen before on that. AGP, could we get a little assistance? Thank you.
So while that's getting going, again, thank you for having us back. I appreciate the opportunity to continue this conversation about how Fathom and our billing services and smart grid solutions can help the city save money and deliver better customer service or improved customer service to the residents of Morro Bay. I thought it would be worthwhile to just run through a bit of a summary. We went through some of this last time, and then go right into a bit of the economics and some of the benefits, so that I think there's been some. I think we've had a difficult time expressing the economics in a way that is comparable and easy for everyone to understand. So I'd like to take another shot at that. First, just a bit on Fathom. So Fathom is a software as a service company. We come out of a regulated water utility in Arizona. So we built and designed this technology inside our water utility to essentially solve the problems that we're all facing around water scarcity, water conservation, and trying to drive technology into that utility. And so this platform of software and managed services and construction service was designed specifically to drive revenue higher for utilities, find the revenue that's being left on the table, reduce costs because of more efficient operations, and ultimately give customers the tools like they have from their credit card companies and their cell phone companies and other larger organizations. So we did that over the last 10 years in our regulated utility. In 2013, we rolled the software piece of the business out as a privately held entity. We brought in some of the largest investors we could find around who knew about water and who knew about software, and XBV Capital and Silver Lake, and have been able to grow this business very rapidly. We're now on 4 million meters across the United States, and we're the largest software as a service company in the water sector today, all designed trying to help bring this technology to bear inside utilities. So looks like my PowerPoint is there. So we can go into some more of the benefits, but Just a few project highlights. First of all, these projects are designed to save utilities money. So what I tell all of as we talk through these processes, they're all designed to ensure that there are at least amount of rate increases as possible. So I don't think it's working, but I'll turn it over to you. So as we do this project, there are no new rate increases proposed. Theirs is actually a net positive to the city of Morro Bay over the 15-year contract arrangement. We also look to do these as turnkey solutions because they've become very complicated to do the IT, the systems integrations, the installation of these projects, and very few municipalities now want to tackle this in a piecemeal fashion. So we built a program around doing this as a turnkey, which was designed to transfer risk away from the city and onto an organization who's done it many, many, many times and has the financial backing to ensure we can adequately accept that risk. As we worked with the city, one of the things that became clear was that the meter population over the years has aged. And so it's well 80 to 90% of all the meters in Morro Bay are already beyond their useful life. And so that is starting to degrade revenue and cause increased maintenance concerns as they're stopping and breaking in service. Lastly, there were concerns about there was only one proposer, and so I encourage you to go look. All of our contracts are public record, and so happily to share the pricing for you. And what you'll see is the cities that we do this work for all have very similar pricing across the board. We do that because all of these contracts are public, and this is no different. As we talk some more about the financials, I think it's important to break this project into two key pieces. There is the billing elements that are already being contracted by the city of Morro Bay, and then there is the meter replacement project to address the aging infrastructure around the metering infrastructure. And as you look at the billing services component of this contract, what you see is that our services are about $16,000 less on an annual basis, and it comes with services like automated phone systems for your customers, mobile applications for your customers, and web tools for your customers to give them more information about their water use. This is just an apples-to-apples comparison. I couldn't pull those things out of our platform, so they come along at these price points. So hopefully what that says is this is a good opportunity for the customer care utility billing portions of this contract. It's less expensive, and it has higher service levels. Then to talk a little bit about the metering project. And so as we think about it, that we're going to replace the meters, or someone is going to replace the meters in Morro Bay, and the choice is really between doing the manually read or dumb metering infrastructure versus doing a smart grid infrastructure across the population. As we looked at that, the numbers around, estimated numbers from the city around what it cost to actually put in a meter on a contracted basis and raise this was about $400 per location, or about $2.1 million that is in the rates programmed for meter replacement. And as a result of spending that money, what you essentially get is status quo. You get the same service levels you have today with newer meters and maybe slightly more accurate meters and less costs on the maintenance side, but essentially you're where you would like to be, or where you are today on that metering infrastructure. As we talk about Fathom, what we're essentially doing from a meter perspective is accelerating the installation of smart grid for meters for the city. Instead of doing meters over time, we're doing all the meters now so that you have the benefits of data to communicate with customers and drive the water conservation goals that you're after. Our cost on a per meter basis for that is about $588 per location, or about $188 more on a capital basis. Now, we've included more in that, obviously. We've got software, we've got electronics, we've got network infrastructure. It's a bigger project, but I wanted to make sure that there was a clear comparison between the opportunity to do dumb meters versus the opportunity to do smart meters. So that runs out to about $12.54 per home per year over the life of the 15-year contract, just to put it in perspective for what the difference is. And then we also have an annual fee associated with managing all of that network infrastructure. When we put this proposal together, the city asked for everything we do. So that's everything we do around big data management to capture theft and manage meter populations, as well as ensure and maintain the warranties around all of those meters. That's a number that we can look at scoping and revise as we go forward if we get to a contracting spot. Then essentially all of those pieces together, if you take those two projects together over the next 15 years, what happens is the costs for Morro Bay on labor increase, but the capital costs are flat, and as a result, this project is a net benefit to the city. And that is on a strictly hard cost basis. So when you start to include the soft costs around how do we find theft of meters, where do we find non-revenue water, how do we correct multipliers in the billing system so we're more accurately billing the customers, and there's a fairness across the community around who's paying for what, and be able to have the tools to drive water conservation as well as report to the state on their various mandates that are coming, we estimate that that soft cost will drive approximately another $100,000 a year in revenue into the city. That has been our experience across many, many, many of these utilities. Our average on this is 9% increases in revenue, about 9% decreases in water production as a function of putting in this complete turnkey solution. And we've got lots of case studies on how that happens. So hopefully that gives you a sense of the financials a bit more and some of the value propositions around Fathom. Is it worthwhile to go through these pieces again for the members that weren't here around goals and who Fathom is?
Yes.
I'm good. Yeah. Sure. But just.
I'm good.
Maybe just highlight a few.
Yeah. Why don't you do that?
Okay.
Yeah.
Highlight a few elements for you. As we talked about, this is all coming out of a regulated utility. I used to run this utility. This was built because of frustrations I had and how to get these systems and technology adopted into utilities. That utility was about 45,000 connections and was really in the middle of the desert, and so we focused on water scarcity from the very beginning. the whole project around Smart Grid for Water and driving conservation and increased revenue for utilities and delighting customers comes from solving across many, many different verticals, which is essentially from meter to the customer. And so Fathom provides, we buy meters and buy radios, and we facilitate that with manufacturers. We do the construction. We facilitate the warranties to protect us and the city. And then we install those. We then manage all the data hosting and analytics to drive value propositions and increased revenue into the utility. Then we take care of the billing services, not unlike what you're contracting out today. Customer service, so there's a line for all your customers to call, live agents who focus on nothing but utility operations to answer questions. And then all of the technology around remittance management and telephony and web tools and mobile applications. And when we say the full bundle or the turnkey project, this is the simplest way to describe the turnkey project. It is everything from meter to customer for Smart Grid for Water. It has driven some amazing value propositions into utilities. As we put more granular data into the utilities and we make it accessible to operations, we've seen these six value propositions emerge. One of them is there's an increase in revenue. Better data delivered through the customer information systems means fairer bills out to customers, and that's revenue increases for the utility. It's because customers call when they get a $500 water bill because someone made a mistake. They don't call when they get a $3 water bill, not very often, unless you're Steven. And so as a result of that, revenue ticks up in the utilities. The other thing is we're on 4 million meters. We deliver our economies of scale in these cost proposals so that you get the benefits of them. And so we see economies of scale being driven into every part of this application. It's the lowest cost way to surface this technology into the city. We see reduced consumption as we give more information to customers. When you start to put consumption data in the hands of customers on a real-time basis, they change behaviors because they can recognize what they did the day before, not what they did 2 months before. So as a result, you start to see reducing consumption. That drives into decreasing capital costs, because if you can shave peak demands in the summertime or reduce the amount of water you're using, that means you can build less infrastructure, or your infrastructure will last longer than you already have. Lastly, we drive around customer delight. We measure that in two ways, customer service surveys from all of our agents, and in something we call channel shift, which is the adoption of the technology into the utility, so people beginning to stop coming to City Hall to drop off checks, but start to use the web tools to pay. And those move very quickly in the first several months of these sorts of platforms, moving up some 30-40% adoption rates. So today, we're on about 150 public water systems across 4 million meters. We have incredibly good references across those. Again, this is around how do we get technology into the utility so that you can use it for all the things and all the promises that it has. And with that, maybe I'll leave it there.
Thank you very much.
Okay, thank you.
Why don't we see who has questions up here? We'll start at this end.
First of all, I'd like to say that I did call one of your cities that now is contracting with you, Melissa, Texas. I spoke to the public works director and to the assistant city manager about that they're a little town of 8,000 people, which is very similar to Morro Bay. And I just wanted to let you know that their comments to me about your service and your ability to answer all their questions and work with them so closely came very highly recommended. And I just wanted to pass that along to you. I also wanted you to speak to a concern that the citizens have about handing this over to you. There's always a worst-case scenario that has to be considered in any decision. And would you speak to if something should happen to Fathom that is unexpected about the escrow in the contract and how we would be protected under unforeseen circumstances?
Sure. So all of these contracts that we do with communities are designed around transferring risk away from the city and onto Fathom. Now, there are some risks that I can't take, but certainly the risk around Fathom disappearing is one that you as a city shouldn't have. And so the way we manage that is we put all of the software code into an escrow account that should Fathom disappear or be unable to provide the services, then the city owns that code for the purpose of fulfilling the contract. So in that way, the data, the software services, there's no opportunity for the city to be hurt if Fathom were to disappear. Now, Fathom has many, many, many 15-year contracts, and we work for lots and lots of regulated agencies. So I think the risk of that is very, very low. But nonetheless, we want to make sure that we always say good paper makes good friends. And so as a result of that, we make sure we put those escrow agreements in place.
Thank you.
Jan.
Could I talk about some of the costs, the operating costs?
Sure.
You said that you will offer the interactive voice recognition and that will the city will see a reduction in the amount of write-offs required. And now, could you clarify, please, what the write-offs are?
Sure.
For everybody?
So all of us in the water utility business have the same issue of around collecting of bills. And so what often happens is because water bills tend to be smaller than power bills, they become very difficult to collect. And so if you send a $30 water bill and someone decides not to pay it because they moved or something like that, the next question is, what exactly do you do to go try and collect that revenue? And so do you put somebody in a truck? Well, that costs $50. You can't do that. Do you pick up the phone? That costs money. So when we went through in our utilities the recession where we had about 11% of our utilities with no one living in the homes, we had a massive issue around this particular problem. And so what we designed was a series of outbound phone call systems and text messaging systems that call customers to remind them that they missed a payment, or as we're coming up on a disconnect day, call them more frequently in order to give them an opportunity to pay before they are disconnected, and give them options like payment arrangements. Mm-hmm. And what we found by doing that through technology was that it was practically free to execute because we already were supporting the technology, and the payment rate went up 90%. And so people want to pay their bills. If they're reminded and given an opportunity in the right way, they pay their bills. And so that's why write-offs have gone from 10 to 15% in many of the utilities we work with down to less than 0.5%. And that's just another revenue generator. It's an annual cost. It's no longer a lost revenue because you're actually collecting the dollars.
So then, if the preliminary estimates are that we will recover about $106,000 in the first year, is it typical that recovery, we recover the same amount? I mean, is that an ongoing amount that you recover each year, or do people get more in the practice of paying, or is it...
Well, right now you're
go up or down the recovered amounts.
Sure. Right now you're losing it today.
Uh-huh.
And so by recovering it in year one, you also recover it in year two because we're providing the service. So that revenue uptick continues in most of these value propositions around whether it's bad debt or write-off. We manage the meter populations around accuracy, so we maintain the meter population at a high degree of accuracy so that you don't lose that revenue. Once we get it all back, we want to make sure we keep it.
Okay, thank you. Can I ask another one?
Please.
on one of our charts, we're comparing Morro Bay and Fathom in the operating costs, and the numbers are $270,000 and $310,000. But on the other chart that Rob referred to earlier, we're talking about $500,000 and $400,000. Where does that extra money come?
So the capital, what we're seeing in that top chart is the service fees plus the debt payment on the capital investment.
Mm-hmm.
And so you could do these meters in one of two ways. You could write a check for $3.1 million and not have any of that recurring finance fees, or we can finance them over 15 years, and then that's the model. Now, on that model, We're coordinating the finance. You own the meters on day one. They're yours. We just helped to manage them for the period of time. So, again, there's no privatization program in this. This is all city assets. We're simply helping.
So it's the cost of the operating cost plus the cost of the meters.
Plus the cost of capital. Okay. Financed over 15 years.
Thank you.
If I could just throw in that as staff was working through this, we asked Fathom to provide what the options would be for us to pay down some of that capital at the beginning. We've got, I believe it's $800,000 already in our capital savings account for meter replacement. And frankly, we decided that that it was better to keep that capital on hand and finance this than it was to pay that down. The return on investment in paying it down in this situation wasn't worth it.
Could I ask, what's the interest rate on that $800,000? Or on what we're paying on the $3 million, I guess?
Yeah, so we'll exactly set the interest rate when we do the contracts, but typically our interest rates are somewhere between 3 and 3.5%.
Okay.
So we try to align them with city bond financing.
Okay, thank you.
My first question is to Dave. And in talking, you brought up a query that kind of threw me off a little bit, because you talked about the fact we've got to reduce our water usage by 10% to meet the state mandate for now we're going to show we're getting 10% more water as a result of better meters. How are you going to be able to reconcile that with the state, the fact that you have no new meters? It's the same number of meters. You're using 10% more water because now you're catching all the water that goes to the meter. I see that as a real issue, quite frankly.
I'm glad that Rob is reaching for the push to talk button.
It was something I hadn't thought of, to be honest with you, until you brought up that very fact.
So
the fact.
There's
And the state's not that easy.
Well, I think the two I'm pretty confident the answer is that there's actually 5,001 meters. There's roughly 5,000 meters around the town at every little at every home, and then there's one giant meter the state uses to register how much water we bring in. And
so you're judging against the state water coming in, that master meter to the city versus what gets used. You're not basing it on prior.
I have no idea. I'm guessing.
I'm going to ask Rob. I'll ask it. You brought it up, and it clicked in my mind.
Sure.
I know the state's pretty onerous over the fact of trying to get all the cities down to 10% reduction. You're going to show 10% more quantity being sold. So that's my question.
So what they're measuring is per capita use. So that's where our metric is. So we need to drop from about 71 gallons per person per day to about 60 gallons per person per day. And they're not looking at delivered or sold water. They're looking at production. They want us to include all of our water losses in that number. So that,
I guess my question, do you feel comfortable being able to reconcile that?
Yeah, we'll show the water produced will not change.
Okay.
Because we'll be accounting for these water losses.
Where you're going. Yeah. Okay. So it's based on production, not on prior meter reads.
Correct.
Okay.
We're using that as a tool to guide us to see how well we're doing, but when the state looks at the bottom line, they're looking at overall water production, including what residential, commercial, and all of our losses. We use the residential use rate as a guide, but the state will be looking for an overall 12%. Reduction.
Of the amount you pull from state water plus the wells plus
correct plus diesel or whatever other water sources we're using.
Okay. And I just want the last two are more statements and questions, because quite frankly we did meet with staff and the consultants, a couple of us, a couple hours prior, and I got a lot of my questions answered, and honestly I felt sorry for you, Jan, going through these numbers, because I thought it was poorly worded in their previous staff report, and it didn't clear up much in this staff report. I'm going to be quite honest. And many of the questions you asked, we sat there and asked as a result of it, because it doesn't flow, and it doesn't make sense, because you're jumping around a little bit in it. I do feel comfortable with the numbers I saw, and I did feel it's not the cheapest option, but it may be the most cost-effective option over the 15 years. But I wanted to say that, because I know for the others on here, many of you haven't met with them, And these numbers didn't make sense to me last time. They still didn't make sense to me when I read it yesterday. So I did go through it. I got a higher comfort level. But in the future, I think it needs to be more better put together so that, and especially you go to city council and you're throwing numbers at them, I think you need to have it, your ducks in a row, so to speak, on that regard. The last question, or it's not even a question, it's a statement, and I think it does confuse the public somewhat. You keep talking about a turnkey operation, and this is only a turnkey operation for the actual meter readings and the billings. They are not any way, part, shape, or form of the water distribution system in this town. And I'm throwing that out there to the public because it's very important. And one other question, or one other thing I wanted to get clear when we stood, and I think that's why Deb brought it up three times, there is no new rate increase as a result of this, and I'd love to hear it just one more time for the record.
There is no rate increase due to this proposal.
The timing felt terrible when I was here last time, and the way it was written, it felt like the base rates were going up as a result to cover these new costs. And what I understand, they have been factored in and can be covered under what we approved two or three months ago, and I know there's a lot of people hurting out there, and they haven't even seen the bills yet. The new bills haven't hit the city yet, or haven't hit the customers yet. And it's basically almost a doubling to start, and it goes up over 5 years. And one other thing you asked about, the 100 grand in savings, they actually should save closer to 200 grand once the rates go up over the 5 years. So that's why you see a diverging point on that, on this graph down here. See how it kind of goes down then goes up. And so I just want to be clear, because it is hard for the rest of the board members not being at that meeting today, and we couldn't do it for a lot of different reasons. That's my end.
Thank you. Okay. Stu. What? Cool. Stu.
Greetings.
Hi.
Of course, I'm in favor of technology. That's the business I'm in. But I spent the last two or three weeks, maybe a month, calling various competitors of yours that sell water meters all over the world. And, of course, Europe is concentrated with a company called Camford that makes water meters and so on. There are perhaps several hundred different brands of water meters, all the way from $30 water meters all the way up to very intelligent water meters that do all that. I want to be sure that we're not going to end up with another impeller-driven water meter when your system is done. Now, you're looking at putting in, and the bid that you have was for electronic water meters, correct?
Yeah, so when there's three types of water meters. There's the multi-jet, which is prominent across Europe. That's the spinning wheel, much like a turbine. There's a positive displacement meter where you've got a part that moves around that basically works like a bucket. And then you have some electronic meters where the technology is sampling the water, trying to go through that, and that's a solid state meter. I'm pretty sure in this proposal what we proposed was the positive displacement type meter, but it wouldn't be difficult to work with staff on if you were looking for a solid state meter. Those are very new meter technology. So far, we have been deploying the positive displacement type meters.
And talking to a few of the manufacturers, they'd love it if you could put in the old meters with old little spinning wheel in them, because those last between 5 and 15 years, and their accuracy degrades quickly as you get down the pipe. So I think that's an important thing.
Stu, if I could just pile onto that for a moment. I guess I'll try to phrase this as an answer. But that's one of the concerns and one of the significant savings that we'll realize is you just identified that those kinds of meters, which are what we have in Morro Bay right now, have a wear-out date at 10 to 15 years. 80 to 90% of our meters right now are over that age. So we have a very old fleet of water meters, and they're the kind that that are wearing out and that are not giving accurate readings for our customers.
Good, thank you, Dave. I understand that the meters are capable of reading down to 1/10 of a gallon and less, which would catch a lot of misters and things like that. We've got some misters around, and I can turn on the misters in our greenhouse and go out and watch the meter, and it doesn't seem to be moving at all. So it's obviously not reading that type of a environment, and I would assume the new meters would read a smaller quantity so we can detect that. Is that correct?
Yep, down to 1/10 of a gallon.
Okay, great. The billing, I saw a presentation from you yesterday on some billing, and it looks very impressive. And we have the ability to format the bills virtually within the parameters you have any way you want. So we can actually take the bill, and we could include our garbage bills in them too. Of course, we're on contract with the garbage company right now, but should we renegotiate that, we can get out of that, include them in your service. Is there an extra charge for that?
No, so it depends on how we do the garbage bills, but we do refuse and garbage for many communities where we do water, wastewater, refuse, stormwater. There are some groundwater charges that companies or utilities also sometimes put on that. There's typically no additional charge for putting a line item on the bill. The only caveat I would add is if you have us do the commercial refuse, then that adds labor and there are some costs associated with that. But residential refuse would be included in this number.
So if the council decides that we're totally out of water and El Nino really doesn't show up again, we could actually add an RO service charge on the bill and show it as a line item. Is that correct?
Absolutely.
Great. You mentioned that should something happen to Phantom, that the software would be put in an escrow account. Our data is important too, not just the software. And I would assume that data is put in there, that the contract would read the software and data. And thirdly, we don't know how to operate the system. And training, would you address those issues for me?
Sure. So the data is always yours. And so I used to run utilities. If someone were to say that the data was not the utilities, then I'd have a problem too. So the data is always the city's. Now, we manage that process through a bunch of disaster recovery elements to ensure that no data is ever lost. We haven't lost any data in the history of our organization to date. So hopefully that gives you some comfort around data ownership and the storage of that data. It's yours. You can have it anytime you want. As it goes to training, we do lots of training as part of this program. You'll be aware of all the business processes that need to be executed. There are robust operations and maintenance manuals around how to run these particular pieces. We're happy to put in the contract that should something happen, that we've got a fee due somehow that it facilitates training for your staff to take over the system if that were to ever come to pass.
Great, thanks. I watched one of the technicians load balance the system the other day, and I mentioned this to Rob, and he was out there with a key, and he'd turn it and he'd put his ear down on the key to make sure that the water was flowing through the valve and so on. And does your system have the ability, given the ability to read all the meters, to advise us as to what to do with that?
That's exactly how it drives operational efficiencies. So look at areas where the demand is happening as the residents and commercial customers are consuming the water. So you can look at it geospatially, compare different areas. It actually helps figure out where to spend the next capital dollar, which is always one of our big concerns. This area has more leaking non-revenue water that's not associated with billing, so let's spend the infrastructure dollars on line replacement in that particular area as opposed to over here where we don't have as much non-revenue water.
I understand that you're going to give us a supply of additional water meters once the system is up and running so that their mechanical devices and like automobiles, things do happen to them. Do you have an estimate of how many? Do you give a set number? And what do we do with the old water meter? And do we give it back to you and you give us a credit, or what's happening with that?
So on the meters, right, the meters, as many in the spare as you think is right, we'll make recommendations around that piece. You can buy those meters as we go forward from Fathom or from other distributors that may have them. So there's no locking in around the metering as you go forward. And then your other question was really, I think, going to what happens to the old meters. So again, that's up to the city. Oftentimes, what we do is we return them back to the yard, and then the city takes them to the recycle and scraps them for cash.
Great. Now it's 15 years. The system has hopefully run perfectly and with no glitches, and everybody's happy. What happens then?
So hopefully, everyone is thrilled, and we continue providing the customer care and utility billing services. At that point, all of the metering infrastructure will be paid off, and we'll have been sending you reports around what meters are aging and when we think you should recommend replacement. This changes the philosophy on meter replacement from a time-based program to a condition-based program. So if there are meters in the community that don't run very often, they will last much longer than 15 years. And in those cases, you don't change them out because they're accurate. The actual battery radio components tend to last for 20 years. So in that period of time, you'll start to have failures. We can essentially replace them in a one-off way as they go bad.
Great. I've received a bunch of emails in the past couple of days on a concern of what's going to happen to our rates, and we're giving them off to somebody else and so on. There's going to be a phone number to call. I would imagine there's going to be a number that goes through the city that goes direct to Fathom for tech support. Understand that we are doing two things here. First of all, we increased our water rate and incrementally for the next 4 years. You're going to get blamed for a lot of that, because it's the new water meters or it's your network and so on. How do you plan to train your staff and address that?
Sure. So as we talk about training customer service staff, so the only thing our customer call center does is utility call center operations. You're right. The city of Morro Bay will get a dedicated 800 number that will ring into our call center. That alerts our call center to that is from the city of Morro Bay. And then they can answer the program, the questions. You may specify some various things around that call center operations. They can execute that to your direction. As we talk about training, because it's a fairly large call center, we train all of the customer service agents on each particular city, and only when they're certified to answer calls for your community do they go in the queue for your community. And so that's how we manage the training. They actually have to get a certification for every single city that they could possibly answer a phone call for.
So all these technicians are here in the United States, and you have no intention of moving them offshore to Jakarta or India or anything else. Is that right?
That's correct. All of them are located in Phoenix, Arizona, and that is the intention. I just re-upped my lease.
And you're going to work with our staff, too, also about questions that might come up and so on, so we're familiar with what's going on too. That's correct?
Absolutely. You'll have a project manager assigned to the project that work directly with the public works staff. We've done this many times. We'll develop, or we'll give you the standard frequently asked questions around these are the questions you can expect as we go through this process. We'll also design the public engagement program as we go through and change the meters so customers, residents know when their meters are going to be changed out. And you can watch it from a city perspective, both public works and public safety, to ensure that everyone knows where we're working at any one time.
I shudder to think, in reading the newspaper recently, that a city is about to get fined $100,000 for not making the water conservation percentage that they were given. And I think it's hypothetical. I said, if we don't get moving on this, this is going to happen. We're 1% away from that. How long is it going to say, if should the council say go with this, how long is it going to take to be operational?
So from a billing perspective, we will be operational between 90 and 120 days. And so at that point, the customers will have the new bills with the graphs on them, access to the websites and the mobile applications. They won't yet have the hourly data being presented to them, because that'll take the meter replacement project. City of this size, conservatively, that would take 5 to 6 months. So if you said go, we'd probably say 9 months from go to be 100% done with the project.
And that includes loading the data that we give you on past use of our customers?
Absolutely.
Great.
We provide, I think, it's at least 2 years delivered through the mobile applications and on the bills.
Okay, great. That's all I have.
Stu, could I make a comment on customer care here? Because I think it's crucially important. And to be clear again, we're going to be completely open, transparent, and clear. If we implement this over time, we will probably downsize the full-time benefited city staff by one position. But we intend so how are we going to take care of our customers? Not everybody, as we heard at the beginning of the meeting, not everybody loves apps. And we have we've got a population that is trained, and we like it to come to City Hall and engage with folks in City Hall. That's good news. So first, you will be able to go on an app or a website and pay by credit card. You can go on that app or website and set up an auto draft. So your bill is paid every month from, I'm not sure if it would be from a credit card or from a checking
account. From a credit card or your checking account.
From either one. You can mail a check in to Phoenix. You can come in, and here's where we're going to do some things in City Hall to make sure that we're taking care of that percentage of our customers that don't want to deal with an app or a website or a stamp. And so you'll be able to come into City Hall and drop off your check. And what we're going to do with those checks is we're going to collect them over a week and put them in a big envelope and mail them to Phoenix. But we will still be happy to accept the check at City Hall. And we won't love this. We'll be happy to accept cash, too. And so we will also have the opportunity, just like you have now, to and what we anticipate is that over time our residents will move from wanting to pay in dollars and cents, you know, hard currency at City Hall, to one of the other ways to pay your bill. We also intend to, just like we do now, so even it will be take some time, probably 6 months, 12 months, 18 months, to fully realize the loss of that. Depending on how you look at it, loss or gain of that one fully benefited position, because Charlie's still going to be there, and we are still going to have staff who are trained to take a customer to the computer that will be set up there, log into their account, show them how to use. So we want to provide a level of service at City Hall. So that folks can come in and essentially have a training session. And frankly, I'm glad that you said that we would work through our great public works folks to do that. We probably won't. You know, they're sort of engineers and they're prickly. So Sam Taylor, who's working on our public engagement, and Charlie will work together to make sure that when a customer who is used to paying at City Hall not only can come in and still drop off a check at City Hall, but can have somebody log onto their account and show them how they can do that from home if they'd like to do that, or just walk them through what they really can't see right now and walk them through and say, hey, here was your usage yesterday, and here was your usage in the last month, and did you see how it spiked here or went down here? And so we want to provide that service at the customer service desk at City Hall.
Excuse me. A lot of questions have been asked. Most of mine have been asked, so I just have a couple. The typical meter would be warranted for 15 years other than high usage. What do you typically see as high usage? Would it be a resident creeps into that, or is it more commercial use?
So all of the meters are warranted on consumption. So what you wind up seeing is that they're warranted through a period depending on size. So maybe it's 1 million gallons. And so once 1 million gallons goes through that particular brass piece, then the brass warranty element is no longer there. So that's what I mean by higher consumption. The register that actually reads those meters and the radio are all warranted for 15 years. So that doesn't apply to those other parts of this infrastructure.
Okay, so the meter itself would be warranted more by its use than a year factor.
It's both.
Okay.
Yep.
And then a question for Rob. We've heard a lot that the rates won't go up. This is basically part of our current rate schedule. And then we've also had questions posed to us of, well, what if we don't do this then? Is there a deduction in that current rate schedule. Is that even an option?
I don't believe so, because we still have to do construct physical maintenance work to replace those meters. So we still have a cost, and we will still have that higher billing cost that we'll be facing with keeping our own system in place. So I don't know that there's any cost savings to be incurred that would be significant enough to do a rate adjustment. But like I said, we evaluate the first year and see what our rates are, our revenues, and we don't take in more than what the cost of doing business is.
Chris, what I heard you say, I think, correct me if I'm wrong, is if we don't do this, might our rates go down a little bit? Is that what I heard you say?
Yeah, that's basically kind of questions from the public.
Yeah, and so the answer to that is clearly no. We anticipate this is going to save money. In fact, it is going to save money. And so so if we our rates are currently set, and as I noted at the beginning, they're set for 5 years. This has no effect on rates. Our rates are set based on not doing this. If we do this and we save a little bit of money or a medium amount of money, then we could conceivably not raise our rates as much as we're currently planning to. Everything that we've researched on this says that this will actually save our water utility money, not cost the water utility money.
Thank you.
First off, I want to say I like paying my bill at City Hall because a friendly person says thank you when I drop off my check. It doesn't happen online like that. I have a couple of questions based, much like Chris's, on concerns we've received this week from people living in Morro Bay. Just for the sake of that, one more time, I'd like you to tell us that the rates are not going up because of this program. I think, yes, and some people may be asking the question, now is this just sort of semantics to get around telling us the truth? Like, when you say rates don't go up, rates imply the cost for the measured unit of water that is used. So is there extra fees or categories that will be in the bill that will cover the expense of implementing this program?
No.
Okay.
I just want to give a caveat.
Yeah.
Individual bills could change because we'll be accurately measuring the amount of water
right.
that is used. So if there's a bad multiplier on that somebody did a data entry error on the bill or the meter is so bad that it's not registering, those bills will be adjusted to reflect the actual amount of water that right. would be
and
used
again,
by that home.
That balance would be raised because of the amount of units of water being used accurately being measured now.
Correct.
Right. But there won't be an extra tacked-on fee to cover the expense of this
no,
program.
No, that still requires a Prop 218
okay.
Process to go through.
There. All right. I think another thing to address, and it may have been addressed before, but for the sake of people's concerns that have contacted us, they see that price tag of $3 million plus, and their first fear, of course, that the expense is passed on to them in their bill. And if that's not the case, perhaps it would be great to explain to them where that money's coming from the city, in order to cover that bill, so people have that answered.
So that will be covered through the revenue that comes in, so through rates.
Mm-hmm.
It will be paid out. We do have a capital improvement program over time that anticipated some meter replacement over time.
Right.
We don't anticipate buying down that cost. We are going to use Fathom's money because it is competitive with bonding money and yet doesn't go against the city's bond rating. So we get an advantage of it not not showing up in our credit rating, so to speak. So the money will be coming through the revenue, which is paid through by rates.
Right.
So the funding of that will be through the basically not doing the capital project for the meter replacement for that, and then supplementing, replacing our existing contractual services with Fathom's contractual services.
So the $60,000 a year that we pay right now to have meters read, we won't have to pay that anymore. Mm-hmm. The contract that we have for mailing water bills, we won't have that. That's included in this, so that will go away. The contract that we have for the water billing system, that will go away. So it's a consolidation of contracts into one larger contract. It's the capital things that Rob talked about, and then some of the savings and conservation items that we talked about, more accurate billing, better collection, and those items.
Right. So the rate that we pay per unit has fees and costs of operation built into them. Whether we go with this operation or we stay with our current meter system and the city implementing their repairs and replacements, correct?
Correct.
Okay.
And we're not talking about maintenance and operations going to Fathom. That will remain city staff. We're talking our customer service, our meter reading, and our billing services only.
Right. Okay. That seems to be a real snag where people sort of, I think most of our citizens don't recognize the expense it takes right now to operate the meters we have and do the necessary repairs and replacements in the next, given amount of time compared to the operation of going with Fathom and the new meters. And so there seems to be a great concern about that and how that price is going to get passed on to them. I think more so for Fathom, there have also been concerns asked about health impact from the units and the RF or radiated frequency that could come from each of those units. Do you have any research data to answer that or address that?
Yeah, absolutely. And Dave talked a bit about it. But I think oftentimes when we say smart meter, people think about the electric smart meters, which are connected to the side of the house and powered all the time. These are water meter smart meters, which means they're powered by a battery and they're out in the public right away. And so in order to conserve the battery, the way these units work is they turn on for milliseconds, burst the data, and then turn themselves off.
All right.
So if you add up all of the time that particular radio is on, it's about 2 minutes per year. And so that's all the amount of RF that's there. They've done studies in some of the larger utilities that have adopted it. I believe there's something on the City of San Francisco website that talks directly to this issue. All of the experts have come and said this is not a health concern. It's orders of magnitude less exposure than your wireless router in your house or your cell phone or any of those other things that we subject ourselves to.
So the kids are out in the yard digging in the sand next to the meter. When they grow up, they won't have one eye a different color than the other.
So say the experts, yes.
Okay. All right. Good. Again, that was something that came up from our citizens who were concerned about every aspect of this new system. And I think those are the ones I mainly wanted to address. Thanks very much.
Thank you, David. Well, I know that we're anxious to get citizen input, so I'm just going to have very, very few questions. Most of them have been answered. I just want to clarify, because it was confusing in the staff proposal, what the current total costs are for the same service in Morro Bay versus what it's going to cost us if we accept this proposal and go with it and pay both for customer service and for the new water meters. And I believe we have seen a comparison previously of $277,000 here currently versus $578,000. Is that correct?
So that includes both the capital costs and the operational cost. For year, that's in year one.
Just year one. I'm less concerned about future projections because the future is uncertain. And so I would just like to know, what is it really going to cost this year, this coming year?
$587,000 $94.
Okay. And I noticed that there is a difference then in the proposal or in the staff report for current Morro Bay costs in the chart that shows that we're going to get some cost savings moving forward. It says $400,000 are the current costs as opposed to the $277,000 as the baseline.
Where's the $400,000?
Well, it's on your chart. Costs over a 15-year contract, and Morro Bay starts at $400,000 as opposed to the $277,000.
It's the graph.
Okay.
Page 3. The blue line at the left.
Yeah,
hand.
I just want to clarify the difference. There's just a lot of confusing figures,
yeah.
I think, and it's very difficult for us to
it adds in
understand
the,
clearly
capital,
the cost.
It adds in capital costs to it also.
So some capital costs for
meter replacement at averaging starting out at $160,000 per year.
Okay, because previously we've been spending about $30,000 a year for meter replacement, so this includes some additional meter replacement.
It's what we should be spending per year to stay level, although we need to do catch up for the 80% to 90% of the meters that are out there.
Right, and I'm very curious about that figure because I did ask about that at the last meeting. I was curious to know how many meters have we put in the last 10 years, and I really haven't gotten an answer yet. How do you know how old these meters are? And wouldn't that be useful information to know how many meters we really need to replace?
That number is in the, we did a meter count for the RFP, and if you have another question, I can look that up.
Okay. Well, and then I just wanted to clarify because I think there was some implication that these water meters are going to last longer than the current ones or ones we might replace, just a standard meter or even another smart meter. And my understanding is that the batteries are pretty similar. They're going to last as long as, depending on the use, these aren't going to last longer necessarily. It really does depend on use.
So today, the water meters you have don't have any batteries in them. The radio has the battery in it, and that's the 15-year warranty, and the life is roughly 20 years.
Well, I was just wondering, they're supposed to last longer than 15 years because that's what we've been told ours last is approximately 15 years, and then they deteriorate. I'm just trying to figure out if these are better batteries or if we couldn't replace them with some other battery at a lower cost. That's really what I'm getting at.
I think when you're saying batteries, are you meaning meters?
Water meters.
Yeah.
Sorry. I do that a lot. You know, I'm getting old. The wrong words come out.
So as we think about the water meters that are going into the meter boxes, they really have three parts. They've got a mechanical part, which is the brass piece. They have a register on top, which is essentially like an odometer, reads to the tenth of a gallon, and then they've got a radio on top of them. So the life of that asset, it combines all three parts, and we manage all three of those parts separately and try and extend the life as long as we can. The longest I've seen a radio live is about 25 years, and so the engineers design those products to last 20 years, and they warranty them to 15 years. The solid-state registers, you tend not to have problems with. That's the odometer piece. It's a little too detailed.
Okay. Well, I just wanted to know if somehow you're getting better batteries than we would be getting if we just replaced our
batteries. It's the same equipment.
Water meters. Thank you. Can't help it.
So I think the value that we bring from a scale perspective is both price and warranty improvements, but the actual equipment is the same.
Okay. Thank you. And then I do want to once more address the issue that's been raised twice, and that is the rate increase that we had. Yes, there is money in that to pay for this, but if we don't go with this proposal, we would save some of that money, and theoretically, we might be able to reduce rates somewhat. This proposal was not included in the rate increase. That's a separate issue, whether or not we want to spend the money from the rate increase on this. Is that correct?
So in addition to not writing the most clear staff reports, we've made one or two other mistakes, so you've got an imperfect staff. We should not have referred to this proposal in any of the water rate documentation. The water rate documentation, as we were listing out some of the capital improvements that had not been done over the years, for example, replacing water meters on a regular basis, as one of the reasons that we needed to raise rates. So you recall that we deferred $900,000 of maintenance last year that we should have done because we didn't have the rates to pay for it. We wrote in there, we made some reference to automated meters. The reason we made that reference is because we do have a capital savings fund for meter replacement. As I mentioned, there's $800,000, I believe, in there. But we should have just simply said that and not referred to automated meters. So the rate increase did not consider or have anything to do with whether we would or would not do this program. In fact, it assumed that we would not, the rate increase, because we didn't assume any savings from automated from this system in the rate items. So I apologize. I think we confused the public and ourselves.
Yeah.
When referring to the deferred maintenance that we were not able to do in the water rate items,
right,
that we made a reference to automated meters.
Yeah.
We should have just said meter replacement.
I just wanted to clarify that this is a separate decision, not from that. And then lastly, you've indicated that Morro Bay will still be quite involved since we're going to be taking bills, we might be training people. Are those costs included in any of this? Because there will be some additional cost to Morro Bay, even if we go with this, because people are still going to pay in person and you might have to train people to use the equipment. Have you considered those at all?
The question is, how quickly will we realize the full savings of So because right now we have a full-time employee who does all of our billing, who sits at the front desk and receives checks and tallies up numbers and processes those. Over time, reliance on that service we anticipate will decrease. It's not going to go to zero. We don't want it to go to zero. But we will no longer have an employee sitting at the front desk using an adding machine like we do right now, tallying up checks and numbers.
Oh, okay.
But it will be as simple as receive the check, put it in an envelope, and mail it.
All right, thank you. And my last question is to Fathom. Are you willing to guarantee us a cost saving?
So we have done things like that. I'm happy to work with staff on those types of guarantees. Typically, there's also it's a sharing. So if we're going to take on some risk, then we need to be compensated for that risk as well. But in many cases, I have done that with cities.
I have a number for you for meters. We currently have 5,412 meters in our system, and the ones that are currently salvageable, where we could put it new register and the radio on there, are 534 are new enough to make that conversion to. And that's what their bid was based on.
All right. Thank you.
One more follow-up question. When you guys, if we were to go with you and you went through to install your new meters and everything, to what extent is your contract covered? Are you just working in the meter box, and if there needs to be a repair to the lateral just outside a foot away, or if the box needs to be replaced, that sort of stuff, is that something our city staff would be there on hand to handle, and how's that covered? Is
That's subject to negotiations. We can contract with them to do that work. That's maintenance work that needs to be done regardless of the meter replacement. We could work with them so that we would be doing that work, or we could use their contractor to do that work also.
Thank you very much.
Okay. Thank you.
I have a question for the audience who's here. Do we want to take a break or no? We want to just plow forward. I saw it shaking of heads. All right, we'll open public comment. The first is Rigmore, and that will be followed by Phil Kersperson.
Good evening, P. Webb. My name is Rigmore. I've crossed off a whole bunch by now, so I'm down to. But what worries me is what I read about what happened in Sacramento when they were installing smart meters. Water mains had to be replaced, gas lines exploded and had to be replaced, streets and sidewalks got torn up and had to be replaced, political corruption, one official ended up in federal jail, citizen had to meander through months of mess, jackhammer, noise, diesel trucks and their fumes and dust and more, and it kept on costing and costing. If you Google it for Sacramento, you'll see even more than this. Everything you read is not always true, but maybe it is. We have smart people here that I still trust, so I hope they will do the right thing. I guess we will only know the real truth when it's all done, if smart meters is the way we go. Thank you.
Thank you very much. And this will be followed by Rick Deschler.
Hi, my name is Phil Kaspersky. I'm here representing myself, my wife, my son, who are all residents here. I'd like to say that 3 minutes is kind of a meager amount when the city manager had 20 to 30 minutes to be a proponent. I think it sounds to me like everybody, everybody forward of this microphone has pretty much made their decision, maybe with the exception of a few of you. I don't feel like this is a fair and an open forum that you guys have all already met with these folks and made up your minds. We're just here, and every time we raise a comment, we have a defense. Our city manager is in defense of them. I don't feel like this is correct. Now on with my 3 minutes. Under goal number 10, says, I have to tell you that this doesn't sound like it was written by Rob Livick or our new city manager. This sounds like it was written by a PR company. If you go back to one of your goals, goal number 10, improve city operations. Customer service takes customer service to a world-class level. Yahoo. I live in Morro Bay. I want to carry my check in and drop it on the girl's desk. I want to see those people riding around on their motor scooters and reading meters. I'm fine with that. We don't need to go to some highfalutin, high-tech situation. Everything works fine. We can replace meters for a good God, less than $1,400 a meter. If you want to get some proposals out there, talk to some local plumbers. Let me read you some other interesting stuff in this promotional literature. The city currently spends approximately, will likely recover revenues, should also see a reduction, preliminary estimates, anticipated recovered revenue. I mean, this is all like, yo, come on. Where are numbers? Let's see some facts here. Let's prove it. If I'm a contractor, if I give you a contract to do a job and I have overages, you're going to be more than upset. It's illegal to do that. Instead, this is a bunch of estimated good time feely stuff.
Can I ask you to wrap it up? Thank you.
Thank you. And I want to tell you this. I want to say this. Just because the staff report is just that. Just because you were asked to provide this report does not mean you must recommend approval. I have met no citizen of Morro Bay who believes this is a good idea. Thank you.
Thank you. Next, we'll hear from Rick Deschler, and then followed by Bill Martori. Am I saying it right? Sorry if I'm not.
Rick Deschler, Morro Bay. I believe the chair's last question was how many meters have been replaced in the last 10 years, not how many meters are adaptable to the new system. I understand that technology is wonderful and will solve all of our problems, especially if you throw enough money at it. Public Works will be able to generate all types of great reports, and best of all, if there are any issues or complaints, it's not their problem anymore. Global Fathom will handle it. I guess that our staff can't provide the amount of customer delight that Global Fathom is offering, but I just don't believe that public services and utilities should be privatized by for-profit corporations. If necessary, local vendors are a better option than distant corporations. If citizens have a water issue or question, they will probably still call City Hall or Public Works first. We will still be paying for our staff time regardless, either by our staff responding to our customers' questions and concerns or the time it takes them to refer them to Global Fathom's customer delight. We will be expending a vast fortune in order to recover an unsubstantiated mythical amount of $107,000 in recovered revenue. Nothing in the staff report validates these potential savings. It only guarantees an escalating expense for the citizens. The staff report focused 5 pages on wordsmithing the proposal to fit what council wants to hear with its goals. It failed to adequately justify this huge cost to citizens. It might take 80 years to replace the meters if we only replace 70 a year, but if you spend $300,000 a year, the amount above the current cost that would be going to Global, then all of the meters could be replaced in less than 3 years. You must think long range on a project like this. When the contract expires in 15 years, we will be at the end of the warranted lifespan of these meters again. When the contract expires, we will be at the mercy of this huge profit-driven corporation. We will not own any of the technology or its control over our water data system. The 15-year-old meters will be ours, but we will have to pay whatever they want because we have no rights or knowledge to the operating data systems ourselves. Again, public services and utilities should not be privatized by for-profit corporations. It is okay for you to provide counsel with a negative recommendation. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Rick. Bill and then Janice House.
Hi, good afternoon. I guess it's good evening now. Bill Martini, Morro Bay.
Mm-hmm.
And, when I first heard about the smart meters, I was a bit concerned. We opt out on PG&E on their smart meters for health concerns. This may or may not be an issue with this particular system. But I did notice with PG&E and their smart meters, it was going to, save us electricity and this and that, and all of a sudden our bills started doubling because of their rate structures. I'm not saying this is going to happen. They also had the option of, I believe, hitting a button if your building come in and shut your meter off. I'm not sure if this technology has the same technology or not, but the main thing I'm concerned about is the $3.2 million that the citizens of Morro Bay are going to be paying out of. I'll back up. It sounds like the cost of either us, billing and reading the meters as opposed to this private corporation reading is kind of a wash. What it does include is there 3.2 million of improvements that the city's going to have to be paying, and that's actually coming out of the ratepayers. You know, you can kind of make the numbers say anything you want, but you're going to be paying $3 million for, you know, a smart meter. I don't know if we actually need to get this information every 15 minutes. I mean, that's a little overkill on the new technology. But I think right now the old technology is working fine. I think it's employing people in the county, even if they don't live in the city. And the savings to the ratepayers right now by replacing meters at $30,000 per year as opposed to $3 million debt, I don't think we should go there at this point. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Okay, we'll have Janice and then Nancy Bast.
Janice House, Morro Bay. My background is technology, so I get software service. I get single vendor. I get integrated systems. I understand all that. But given that, I also have some red flags with this proposal. One of them is, what's the rush? I know that this addresses some of the city goals, but they're just goals. They're not mandates. Rushing this decision for no clear reason just doesn't feel right. This is a 15-year multimillion-dollar project, and we only had one company bid. This just doesn't feel right. This has shades of the business license fiasco, where a company is going to come in and do an audit to see who isn't paying their fair share. When whatever hits the fan, the PWAB is going to be the board they're going to say they made that recommendation. The assumption that the audit will unearth money to pay for this increased cost, this just doesn't feel right. The additional money will go to Fathom, not to the city. There is an assumption that they will unearth some money, but the costs are very real. There's another city goal that I'm interested in, which is an IT master plan. It doesn't seem right to commit to a new system for 15 years before the master plan has been completed, or to my knowledge, even started. I applaud the board for asking lots of questions about the financials because it's not real clear. But here's another added caveat. In the budget, in our 15-16 budget under the water fund, it says, instead of committing our $1 million to capital, we intend to keep those funds on hand to offset any expenses that might bear in the first several years of automated metering, so we don't have to pass those expenses on to our customers. You guys need to be very, very clear about the financials of this project. Also, the budget workshop said that we have financial challenges for the next few years. Is this the right time to do this? Again, what's the rush? If you don't all feel 100% comfortable with this proposal, then vote no for now. You can come back in a year, 18 months, 2 years. Maybe then you'll have some more potential bidders. Maybe then the master plan should be complete. So those are my comments to you. Good luck.
Thank you very much. And this will be followed by Dan Glessman.
Nancy Bast, Morro Bay. I say, too, why the rush to make this $3.5 million irrevocable 15-year commitment in essentially just two public meetings? This proposal was unknown to the community until last month's PWAB meeting, at which they were expected to make their recommendation to the council. Thank you, PWAB, for asking the questions and continuing it. We lose local control, our money goes out of state, local jobs are lost, inquiries will go to an automated response center located in Phoenix, Arizona, that handles 150 different utilities and 4 million accounts. At least I hope it will be in Phoenix. Morro Bay is a town with high percentage of older and low-income people who may not be able to access or understand the advanced technical jargon and acronyms that Global Fathom's high-tech web portal offers to check hourly usage or compare to neighbors' usage. We're told there will be no increase in bills, but it is estimated there will be an average 9% increase in water revenue coming from inaccurate metering of our low-registering old mechanical meters. Even though it isn't called an increase, it seems we can expect our bills to average 9% higher on top of the July rate increases. The estimate to capture lost water usage revenue the first year is $106,800, or an average of less than $20 per meter. I emphasize the first year. However, because all 5,424 meters will be replaced within the first 6 months, we reasonably could expect no lost revenue captured after the first year. I would gladly give the city the $20 to keep jobs, billing, and local and money local, and hear the friendly clerk at the City Hall counter say, "Thank you, have a good day." The city received only Global Fathom's response to the RFP for a turnkey operation. There were responses to different aspects of installing, reading, and billing smart meters, but they were not considered. While this one wireless device may not present a health issue, the cumulative electromagnetic effect of 5,424 meters transmitting along with electric meters, cell phones, internet, countless other emitters cannot be glibly discounted. Our body actions are triggered by electrical impulses. It's too high a cost for this small town.
Thank you, Nancy. Okay, Dan Glessman next, and then Linda Merrill. Dan Glessman is, he left. Okay, Linda.
Wrong person. Good evening, PPWeb, you guys. I just feel rather disturbed by what has transpired here. My name is Linda Merrill, and good evening, Chairperson. Chairwoman McPherson, and board members. This is the second time we've heard the sales presentation. This man is here because he expects to bank money on this project. I'm disappointed that the staff report wasn't less biased. It was pretty much just a sales pitch. It's his sales pitch that you've written in your staff report. He could have written this. You guys could have signed it. I oppose this proposal for automated water meters because I don't believe they're necessary. Yes, we need to update our old system so we can account for lost water, but we cannot afford this solution. When I read the staff report, I kept seeing assumptions of found revenue, assumptions of savings and operating costs, assumptions based on assumptions. I'm not fond of assumptions. Increased water rates will conserve water. I don't like the idea of sending good-paying jobs out of Morro Bay. This is exactly what we don't need. We've been hounded about, we need good jobs. How are we going to get good paying jobs in Morro Bay? We need to do this, we need to do that. And here our very city is sending jobs out of the area. We could do our own meter reading. We can replace our own meters with good ones. Our own kind, but it means the staff would have to do the work to do this. Board members, please, please don't support this proposal and send a clear message to our mayor and council that this is not a good fit for Morro Bay. I like dumb meters. Thank you all. Thank you for everything you're doing.
Thank you, Linda. Homer Alexander next, followed by Casey Caldwell.
My name is Homer Alexander. The question you need to address tonight is whether or not automating the water meters will add enough value for the ratepayers to justify the significant cost. Monitoring usage either online or mobile sounds cool, but is it really necessary? I assume that all of you have electric smart meters. How often do you go to PG&E's website and look at your electric usage? Once a week? Once a year? Why do you think this is going to be any different? I question the projected cost savings. The savings for eliminating the water meter reading and the billing service seem reasonable. However, I believe counting the reduction of one full-time employee is overstated. The utility clerk works in the front office at City Hall. She currently doubles as the receptionist. Some of her hours will need to be replaced. I was concerned that when in the June 18 staff report used the word estimate, when it addressed the additional revenue that would be achieved by capturing all of the water, that the old system might not be accurately recording. What happens if more of the unbilled water turns out to be attributed to the city's infrastructure and not the defective meters? The annual cost savings is $587,000 for the services, is comprised of $310,000 for the ongoing operations and $267,000 to service the $3.2 million debt. Assuming the interest rate is fixed, that would mean the city is paying over $950,000 in interest, a completely unproductive use of our money. At $125 each, the city can buy 5,400 new meters for $675,000. Two different plumbers told me it takes anywhere from 10 to 20 minutes to change a meter. Allowing a half an hour to compensate for the unexpected, two individuals being paid $25 an hour could replace all the meters for $75,000 in about 8 months. Total replacement, $750,000. This means the city is paying $2,400,000 for the communication hardware and Fathom software. That is a lot of money. In tonight's staff report, the words "will likely recover," "should also see a reduction," "preliminary estimates," "anticipated," certainly doesn't inspire confidence that the numbers used to justify the expense reduction and additional revenue will actually materialize. You need to ask yourselves, does this proposal really add value for the ratepayer? I personally don't think so. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, thank you, Homer. Casey Caldwell and then Ted DeMont.
Good evening, Chairwoman McPherson and board members. I am Casey Caldwell, a Morro Bay resident, and I want to thank you for asking some really good questions. I learned a lot through your questions and the answers that came. I don't want to talk about the financial fiasco that I think going to smart meters will cause the city at this time. What I really want to talk about is timing. I think the big issue here for me is not that we improve our technology. That's bound to happen. Sooner or later, that's the direction the world is moving in. But the timing is really rotten. City Council has just approved a pretty big rate increase that's going to go on for several years. So there may not be a rate increase on top of that. But we already have a rate increase. And now if we have an accuracy increase on top of a rate increase, it's really like kicking us while we're down. Now, I'm all for paying my fair share of the water. I think my bill should reflect what I accurately use. But I'm not sure how many of our meters are inaccurate. I'm not sure that this is a good timing. And when City Council instituted the rate increase, each one of the council members and Mr. Buckingham, Mr. Livick, they said it's possible that rates could go down. So what if rates do go down for a number of reasons, And we still have a $3 million loan. The payments on the loan aren't going down. The payments are going to remain the same. What about the competitive bids? What about other types of meters? Mr. Skiff, I really enjoyed your question about these European meters, other types of meters. Where's the competition to this bid? The staff report said there was a proposal. Was there only one proposal? There must have been more. How many people are turning their meters around? I think that's really rare. And what about the six-tiered billing with top tiers having punitive payments? I think the California courts just ruled that to be illegal, didn't they? So I have a lot of questions, but mostly I want to say the timing. It just couldn't be worse. It couldn't be worse. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Ted DeMont and then Betty Winholtz.
Good evening. My name is Ted DeMont, resident of Morro Bay, and I have a couple of concerns regarding this. First, I'd like the board to determine if any municipality has installed this type of meter in a coastal area. My concern is that the electronics may prove to be less reliable than the currently existing mechanical type of meters we have. Salt air, as you know, is highly corrosive. I mean, look around. So the three cities that were listed as references do not have the same environmental conditions as we have here. We need to explore this issue. Second, I spoke to the city clerk in Grass Valley and also to a person in Covina, two of the cities that were listed as references. And the city of Covina, the clerk told me that they received an $800,000 grant in 2010 for the implementation of the smart meters. Is that money available anymore? Does something like that exist? I don't know. I don't see anything to suggest that it does. I don't know, though. We need to look into that, I think. Third, as we all know, our water rates are set to nearly double in the next few years. This set of costs is largely unavoidable. My concern here is that the implementation and debt servicing costs associated with this may exceed the scenario on page one of the staff report. Right now, we have a system that works reasonably well, is very well understood, is reliable, has predictable costs, and appears to be the least cost option. Indeed, if the situation were looked at through only the lens of what is the best choice financially, then, assuming all the information provided is actually accurate, maintaining the status quo appears to be the best choice. It is not a failure in any way for this board to recognize that sometimes doing exactly what you have been doing all along is the best choice. Or, as is often said, if it ain't broke, fix it. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Next we have Betty Winholtz. That'll be followed by Barbara Dorr.
Good evening, Betty Winholtz. I think several of the speakers have pointed out, and I think it's real important to note, that what we're about tonight is what is the best way to get accurate meter reading. It's not about Fathom. It's not about a particular program. It's what is it that will be the best to get the most accurate reading, and I would add, most efficiently or cost-effective. And I think the kind of scenario that Mr. Alexander was proposing is the most efficient and cost-effective and still accurate. Because if we replace all our meters, whether with a smart meter or a conventional meter, we're going to get more accurate readings. And so if, according to the staff's statistics, and this is from the old report, and I don't really understand how the figures from the first report changed into the second report, but the operating costs are $200,000 currently, that if we do it with the Fathom way of doing it, then it's $261,000. So there's a little bit extra cost for going with them. If we do the installation, supposedly we're spending $30,000 now, but if we would do their installation, it's the $310,000, which covers this is all annuals, you know, to cover that debt. I'm tell you that I'm a math tutor, and so I looked at some statistics, and I came close to the figures that Mr. Alexander did, only got closer to $975,000. If you replaced all of our meters, which Mr. Leibig said were approximately $125 a piece, which is equivalent to what the smart meters are as well. And you do like the regular plumber thing as well. And you put into that 6% for, say you're going to borrow this money. You can have all this done for between what he said and my figure came up to $975,000. Point being, all of this is still under $1 million. And if we have some in reserve for that now, even better. And so I have to say that I'm even more confused now than I was before about how this is being paid for. Because in the 218 vote, it not only in the chart lists this as a project, but it listed in the text that this was a project for 218. You have declared more than once that this is not a 218 project. So then are we paying for this out of current or old fees, not the new incoming fees? Or are you going to be taking out a loan separate from that? And so I really don't get how this is being paid for. Just one last point about conservation. This is a town that has been conserving for 40 years. Okay, we have done this. We're better than almost any city in the state. So for us to think that reading smart meters is going to make us even more conservative when we're already taking out our yards, I think is really not true.
Thank you very much, Betty. Barbara Dorr, followed by Bob Dorr.
Good evening, Barbara Dorr. We listened to your last meeting from a month ago today, so thank you very much for the questions you asked. Thank you for postponing the action until tonight. I think it was a wise decision, and I would certainly recommend that you again postpone this and or recommend to the City Council that it's not the way to go right now. Wait till you have some competition. One contractor in Arizona, you know? Right now we have people in working here. Why do we want to send it to Arizona? Wait until there's a California contractor at least to do the job. Technology is good, and we're probably all going to go in that direction. Before I go further, I agreed with everything that everybody said tonight. And I just shook my head, yes, 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 because I just agreed with them. And I think you had many speakers who've studied the issue, who've looked at it. No Morro Bay better than I do. We've owned property here for 20-some years, but it's time to just wait, just to accomplish a goal on the list for the City Council is not good enough. And we should continue with the $30,000 a year versus the phantom $3.2 million for meters. And water isn't invisible. I know when I'm watering my yard. I know when I'm watering my plants. I know when I'm holding the bucket under the shower spigot, and I know when I'm carrying those buckets out to water my plants in the yard. We know how much water we're using. We get our bill now. We look at it. Once our meters went up, and I got a very nice call about a year ago from somebody at City Hall to let me know something's wrong, or your water's gone up. We checked it out. And then we had a Blues baseball player stay with us, and we called the city to let them know we'd have another resident in our household, so if the water went up, they'd know why. So the customer service couldn't be any better than it is right now. Again, stay in California. Customer service is great. I listened to your meeting last time. There was only one person. It was Rick who spoke. I don't know him. I heard him again tonight. He had some good comments, and I don't think your minutes reflected the good comments and his questions, and I don't think they were ever answered. I guess the timer is coming to again. Again, listen to the people who are here. They're educated, they're knowledgeable, and they're trying to help you as you're up there trying to help us and studying the issue. And I wish today we could have heard some of your discussions and with the consultants, because we were left out of that loop, and transparency and public information is critical. And when you do your subcommittees at your next meeting or tonight, would you please ask that they all be publicized and in accordance with the Brown Act? I know they're not standing committees. Make them standing committees and use the Brown Act to protect the citizens' rights. Thank you.
Bob Dorr and then Larry Knapp.
Hi, Bob Dora, Morro Bay. I don't envy you folks up here, but thank you for what you're doing. Yeah, and it's a tough decision. You don't want to go against the staff, but, you know, if you send it up to the city council, I think they're going to spend a lot of time on this issue, and it's going to come out just like this. You're going to have a lot of people coming out saying that it just doesn't wash. You know, it's not quite right. If the technology looks great, you know, everybody likes new technology. It's fun to play with a cell phone. If there were 1,000 homes being developed in Phoenix, yeah, that's great. Everything goes in at one time, underground utilities, everything is wonderful. But here, you know, like these people have said, you know, you drop off a check at City Hall, you say hi to the lady. I think in 5-6 years I've been down there once with a question about my bill. And they handled it. It was real simple, you know. I spent more time trying to get Microsoft to send me a download for, you know, much more time, believe me, for, you know, a driver for a printer or something. And the one RFPA, that's another issue. The RFP, that's another thing. I think, you know, there should be more people that want to do this for us. You know, you're talking $3 million. You think there'd be more people that would like to come into the city and do that. And then, you know, this 218 mailer was mentioned. And in that same mailer, talking about the sewer rates and the water rates, the same flyer was talking about Cayucas going in at our $100 million sewer plant. Well, Cayucas doesn't look like they're going to be joining us on a $100 million expense. You know, so that's, do we need another $3 million to kick into that $100 million? I don't believe we do. And, you know, Barbara mentioned that we watched this on television just this afternoon. It was, the timer wasn't on. I'm almost done. That's okay. I just want to say that when I was watching this, it kind of reminded me of buying a new car. You go into the dealership, the Ford dealership, and you say, okay, I'm going to buy a new Ford Focus. And, you know, I want an automatic transmission, but I don't want it real fancy. And then you look over and you see he sells Lincolns. Oh, my God. Hey, that MKZ really looks nice, you know, with the leather seats and all that. Well, maybe you wind up with an Expedition. But that's what this looked like to me. We're padding it, you know, looking for the deluxe stuff. I think we can go with what we have, you know. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Larry Knapp and then Dee Dee Alexander.
Hi, I'm Larry Knapp, resident of Morro Bay. And I think that we shouldn't go with this for several reasons. Even when we forget that most people in Morro Bay are on fixed incomes, retired people, and you go to the grocery store and they're still writing out checks instead of using a debit card. So how many of those people are going to have a smartphone and an app to check their water every 15 minutes? Nobody's going to be really doing that. You really know how much water you use. And we could replace and maintain the meters we have and go later on down the road to improve the water meters. Because you're getting ready to move this, the sewage plant, which is costing a fortune, and everything else. And it's a small little town, and you're just going to put it under so much debt. And it's just crazy. I think you need to consider the residents here, and they're the ones that's going to be suffering for everybody deciding to do all of these changes. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Dee Dee.
All right. Okay. My name is Dee Dee Alexander, and I have a few questions. What is the interest rate on a $3.2 million loan? Is the rate fixed for the term of the loan? Rather than using commercial financing, could the city find less expensive money from a public source? Question number two, since the new system is designed to accept all means of payment, it is anticipated that a large number of ratepayers will start paying their bills with a credit debit card. Currently, the city only accepts credit cards on a very limited basis. In the proposal, on page 34, it states that Fathom will pass through the fees from a payment processor and the bank to the city. When the new water and sewer rates are fully implemented in the 4 years, the revenue is projected to be $12 million. If the bank fee and processing fees are 2% and half the ratepayers use the credit debit cards. Will the cards, the cost will be over $100,000 a year. Why weren't these additional costs factored into the financial analysis of the project? Question number three. The author of the staff report from your June 18th meeting stated that the annual fixed operating cost of $310,000 on page 49 of the proposal, it states recurring fees will be adjusted with the CPI, which is correct. The city should require Fathom to prepare a 15-year fully detailed cost projection with every direct and indirect expense included. On question number four, on page 15 of the proposal, it states that the ratepayers will still be able to pay in person. If the utility billing clerk's position is eliminated, who will process these payments in an ongoing basis? Question number five. Postage each month to mail the bills is a small item, but it is still a $30,000 a year expense. In the proposal, Fathom states that they will pay the postage, and if a large number of Morrow Bay ratepayers go paperless, will the city receive a credit? Thank you.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it. That was the last speaker slip that I have. Is there anyone here who did not submit a speaker slip who would still like to comment while public comment is open? Okay, then I think we'll close public comment. I personally would like to take a 5-minute break. Would that be permissible?
You're the chair.
All right, well then we're going to take a 5-minute break. Thank you. I'm going to All right, we're back in session, everyone. We're live. If I may have your attention. Thank you. Thank you. I want to thank the public for coming out tonight. It was not our regular time, and it was great to hear the public input, so thank you all very much for coming. What we're going to do now is bring it back, and we're going to just ask each person to kind of state where they are on this, and if there's any further discussion or questions that maybe you can answer, we'll do that, and then we'll make a motion.
You're pointing at me.
I am. Well, because we started at this end earlier.
You know, I was trying to make notes, and there was a lot of information here, and it's hard to write pages and pages sitting up here and getting out. But a few of the issues I see that popped up were, you know, here we are with rate increases and everything. If it's not true, let me know. But I understand we've had a flat rate for years and years and years, possibly 20 years. And, you know, we didn't address many things when we should have addressed them in past administrations. We got in debt for $900,000+ in our water system, and we can't make or lose money, as you've heard. And we've addressed that. And, you know, we have to move forward from here is how I feel with that. We are not alone here in Morrow Bay. Some of the people think we are, but we're not. We're part of a county. We're part of a California organization and so on, and they mandate certain things to happen here, especially when it comes to water. And I get up every morning and pray for El Nino and hold my hand out, and it's not raining yet. And so we have some issues here, and historically we've had problems with water and those kinds of things. So we are part of a larger organization, and they're going to see to it that everybody is in step with water conservation, and I only see in the report one city that's lower than we are, and they ran out of water last year, and that's Cambria. So, yeah, we're doing a good job, but we still, our infrastructure is failing us. I've seen streets where you walk on the streets and there's water squish, squish in them because we didn't know that water was leaking out until some citizen called and said, hey, it's coming out of over here. And then we come out and we start digging up the streets and we put a sleeve or a Band-Aid on a main, and we're off and running with that again. This system is going to give us the ability to identify where the areas are that we have a problem with, where the flow is. And I see a shaking head, but I've been in technology for many, many years, and you put something in like this where you can detect it. We have to change meters anyway. Why not do this? So I believe that's all I've got right now, but honestly, I'm in favor of moving ahead with this. Morro Bay needs to move on to the rest of their life, and we need to regulate our water use. It may start raining this year, according to our weatherman, John Lindsay. That's not going to last, and historically we've had problems with that for years. We need to address this and move on. Thank you.
Okay. Chris.
I still have some questions as to whether it's something necessary right at this moment. One of my big questions, though, is still if we replace all these meters at once right now and they're projecting 15-year lifespan, granted there's going to be some that aren't, and right now we're replacing meters periodically. If we replace them all and in 15 years we're going to have another big chunk of meters that need replacement, what happens at that point? Are we coming back to this with someone like Fathom or and having to address another big chunk of meter replacement all at one time again? And whether something, a phased-in process is something that might be a little more beneficial. And then also the mention of the one city that used grant funding. Is there a grant process that could be dealt with for this? So I'm still kind of on the fence with it because of those issues.
Chris? David?
I also feel that while technology is certainly the direction we need to move, whether or not we need more information and whether or not the City Council should consider more options than the one we've received. Not that I think it's a bad option, but I would certainly like to know what other options are out there. And the grant money, having taken the time to look and explore to see what kind of funding the city could possibly obtain. And then learning more about what Fathom actually supplies to us. From what I gather, we would be putting in physically the same type of meter we use right now. Their addition is the digital technology that helps read what that meter is doing and the billing side of it as well. So I just think we need to encourage the council to explore deeper how many of these components we actually need to put all this in play.
Thank you. Stephen.
Quite frankly, over the last day, I probably vacillated about three or four times on which way to go with this. I really have. And one of the biggest problems I've had, and I don't want to beat up on staff too much, but I just felt that the staff report showed numbers that didn't make sense. They didn't make sense to me, and I do this for a living for the most part. And I think it put a lot of misinformation out on the crowd. First of all, I do not have a problem with Fathom, their business, the product they serve. I thought the timing might have felt poor in light of showing bad numbers mixed with the fact that these people are going through a doubling of their rates, which we only approved 2 months ago. I honestly wished not only did you bring the Fathom proposal to this board, and I strongly suggest when and if it goes to City Council, I'm all ready to vote tonight one way or the other so we can move it up the chain because we are only an advisory board. But there should have been an alternative analysis of say, replacing all the meters with dumb meters and keeping the present solution of how you read the meters today and how you bill today. Because the difference between those two costs, good or bad, you'll get the additional revenue from the water loss replacing all the meters. Even with the dumb meters, you're going to recapture that money. But then you can find out the true cost of what you're paying for to have the ability to read in real time your meter. Because at the end of the day, the difference between the smart meter and the dumb meter is that ability to read it in real time. And some people will use it, some people won't. I think David brought up the fact they're very conscious of it with the PG&E meter with his family. And trust me, in this town, it's a very environmental town, and there are a lot of people that will find a true benefit in that. But I honestly wished we had that other alternative to look at and say, gee, if you're paying X amount of dollars a year for that ability, gee, then it's not a cost benefit. It's more of a social benefit, I'll call it, having that ability. And some people wish to have that. Don't get me wrong. Based on the fact I don't have that before me, and like I said, you know, I was the one who at least started the continuation talk last week when it first came to us, because numbers weren't making sense to me. And this is a very important item. Dave, I know you're here recently. I've been sitting on this board 4 years. It's probably the first time I didn't go with staff on the recommendation, quite frankly, because generally speaking, they brought stuff in. It was cogent. You can make good decisions, and you can move on. And like I say, I don't want to fault staff. You guys are busy. I know what's going on. But when you get into the numbers game, not everybody's privy to all the numbers, and you make these leaps of faith as you go through it, and people don't realize where the numbers are coming from, hence the crowd out there that's wondering what's going on. From a safety standpoint, I'm sorry, I can't get into the EMF radiation. This is using a battery that lasts 15 years. We're talking about such a low wattage of transmission, and it's out at the street. That does not concern me at all. I think the technology's sound. I have no problem with that. But I'm not sure I could support it tonight, based on what we got, but I think we have to move it forward, because at the end of the day, we advise, and the city council makes their decisions. I always like to tell why I'm not going to do something or why I'm for it, so at least the decision makers, and God bless, I never want to be one, you know, they have my thoughts as to why I'm going in the route I'm going. And again, I don't want to prejudice the product. I have no problem with it per se. But I think you got to give the city council options, and that's the one thing that was never in this staff report from the get-go. I think somebody did bring it up. The staff report did sound like a little bit of a pro-slant to the whole thing, and I think that was part of what bothered me a little bit with it, too. But other than that, you know, and like I said, I'll move on to the next. Thank you.
Well, like Steve, I had a lot of the same. I don't feel comfortable yet with the numbers. I have no problem with Fathom. I think I understand what they're trying to say. I have no problem with. Actually, I came thinking I wanted to, that I was all ready to go with this, to move forward with this. But then the timing is an issue, and I don't really have the numbers. I don't know how much are we really saving. How much is this going to cost? Why is this something we have to do today? It doesn't seem like something you can phase in if you're going to have, if the company is going to be overseeing, one company overseeing it. I could see how they would have to put them all in at once and get everybody, get it up and going. But so you couldn't phase it in. You'd have to just bite the bullet and do it. And I would like to see more numbers. I would like to have more clarification on that before, but I'm tending towards saying let's go. I'd like to say that, but I would just like to have more financial information.
Debbie. Okay, well, I'd like to thank the staff for the work that they did. It may not be perfection, but I'm not going to
put the blame on Fathom for the areas where it's lacking. PWAB, all of us have received several emails regarding this proposal. I've read them all. I empathize with all of them. I am 65, I am retired, and I am a longtime Morro Bay resident, just like some of my other board members. No one in this city wants increases, and change is always difficult. But I emphasize the word city. This is about our city. It's not about me. I don't want to pay $13 for a pound of beef. I don't want to pay $5 for a gallon of gas. It's about the city. And if I think about the city, I have a much better, I'm more able to think clearly. While reading my PWAB emails, I suddenly felt like I was transported back 20 years. And I am on a board, and the pressure is being brought to bear on me to not raise any increases on anything ever. And I think that would be very nice. But apparently in previous boards, they succumbed to that, and they let it go for 20 years, and now look where we are. Our water and sewer increases. The sooner, we have to do this sooner or later. And sooner is always cheaper than later. And I would rather do $3 million now at 3% than pass it on to my daughter and my granddaughter 20 years from now at $30 million. You have to look at the whole package. This isn't just about replacing meters. This isn't just about customer service. It's the whole package. It's a turnkey house. You're walking in, you're getting everything. And I think it is the fiduciary responsibility of the city council to move this city forward and put it in the best possible position for the future. Often the right decision is the most difficult. No one likes to spend money on infrastructure. You can't see it. It's not like our beautiful new bridge where we can go see it and walk on it and admire it. We're building a new wastewater treatment plant, and I consider the new meters to be part of an overall upgrade for our city. You want to talk about jobs? How many people are going to want to bring Tesla and Elon Musk and all these nice companies to our area to pay taxes and create revenue when the city is still working with paper and pencil? We have to show that we are relevant and willing to spend the time and money to move our city infrastructure into the 21st century while maintaining our small town fishing village atmosphere. I am in a place where I don't have all the answers. I have some questions, but I am willing to pass it on to the city council so that they can delve deeper, get the questions answered, and come up with the best decision.
Thank you. Well, I guess I just want to state, just for the record, that if it were up to me tonight, I would have to vote to not approve this proposal. And I have a number of reasons for that. First of all, I don't feel like the costs are justified. Having read the proposal, having read the staff report, I don't see the numbers making sense to me. I see a lot of expense, and I don't see where all these cost savings are going to occur. I'm also not sure that it's necessary that we go with this proposal, and I would love to see some alternative ones where we could look at what it would cost to replace meters and perhaps, because our goals here, as I understand it, are to recapture the water that we're losing through defective meters. So we could do that just by installing meters ourselves or with a contractor or at a lower cost, certainly, than the $3.2 million. Our second goal is to conserve water, and already our citizens have conserved to the point where, yes, we have 1% more we have to conserve, but how much more are we going to capture through smart meters? I mean, we're already one of the lowest users. You know, I think we're here, this board, to represent the community, and we've heard the community speak tonight. And I think we have to remember that we have a large proportion of elderly and low-income people in this community. And we know that from the number that voted no on the rate increase. It was close to 1,000. We know that from the number of PG&E customers that ask for a low-income discount, over 974, I think we heard. We don't have to spend this money.
on this proposal. I think that's the point I want to make. I also, and we don't necessarily have to have a Cadillac if we can buy a Chevy. I know somebody talked about a Lincoln and a Ford, but it's the same comparison. We don't have to go with the most expensive option. We can look to see what other more cost-effective options are to achieve the same goals that we want to achieve. I also have real concerns with outsourcing a major function of city government, and I think that this is a small community. People use City Hall to go pay their water bill. I am really concerned about outsourcing all of that and a key operation, billing and all that. We have much more control if we are managing those things ourselves and if we rely on a single source for doing that. And I'm not sure what kind of leverage we would have if we weren't satisfied. As I said earlier, I'm concerned that we only received one RFP. And I think there's a reason for that. I believe this is the only turnkey operation. There are other cities around us that are also considering smart meters, and they are not necessarily selecting this option. I think we need to reach out to them, learn from them what some of the other options are that may be more cost effective. And so that's my opinion. I voiced it. I would entertain a motion at this point as to what we want to recommend to City Council. If anyone wants to make a motion.
I'd like to go ahead and make the motion, and it would be for, I don't want to say denial because we're not denying, but a negative recommendation to City Council to accept this without further analysis or alternative analysis of other routes to go. Some of them were brought up here tonight. Some of them had crossed my mind today as we were talking. I just wish there was choices. And when there's a choice, then you could sit there and say, gee, is the value of that. I'm getting off track, sorry. I'd like to make the motion to a negative recommendation to City Council.
Could I amend that motion by saying that we would direct staff to explore some of these other alternatives, and it could certainly be brought back to City Council with more information about what some of the other alternatives are to accomplish the goals?
Yes, because if I was a decision maker, I'd want choices.
Okay. Any other discussion or comment?
I'll second that for discussion.
All right, second from Chris. Any other discussion?
I'll say this. This is going to be inevitable sooner or later. Whether this is the best choice right this minute, I don't know. I'm after listening to some of the comments and everything, we need to take a look, and I did talk to some of Phantom's competitors, and there's various reasons why they didn't bid on what we have here, and it has to do with putting the package together and so on. But we do need to do this, and it may start raining next week or next month, and you know, this will all be soon forgotten until next year when it's dry again, or 2 years from now, and so on. So this is something that needs to happen. In the meantime, we're losing water in our system, and we're not in compliance with what the state wants us to be. So, you know, this is a tough decision, but I would think that I'm in favor of taking a closer look at what's going on and perhaps talking to some other contractors and maybe changing the RFP a little bit so we get some other perspectives on what's going on.
I was going to say the motion I made, though, is to pass it on to City Council to not accept this sole source without some additional information so they have a better chance to make a better
decision. I'm agreeable with that.
Oh, okay.
All right, so I guess we'll call for the vote. All in favor of the motion, say aye.
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 Opposed?
No.
Okay, do we have, we know who that is.
Yeah. 6-1.
6-1, and Debbie was concurrent. All right, we're going to move on. We have another item on the agenda. No, everybody thinks they're going to go home, but we have another item.
This is a quickie, hopefully.
All right, we're moving on to item B2. That is the proposal to create subcommittees for a PWAB. And I think we also continued this in part because we were missing two members last time. So if we can revisit the discussion, we really didn't spend much time on it at the last meeting because it was like this at the very end. So first of all, let's just talk about whether we really want to do that.
Okay. One thing I did notice on it, there's about seven subcommittee line items, and there's seven people. So if we're going to actually have subcommittees, you're going to be sitting on several. And I did look at it. As you know, I sit on the wastewater for the wastewater treatment plan. I would have no problems since I'm kind of more on board and knowing what's going on there. And I could probably sit on streets, too, or something along those lines. I don't know if we have things before us right now. And I thought the capital improvement project could probably be dropped because they usually fall under water, wastewater, streets and sidewalks, or something of that nature, where probably it's not its own line item in a sense.
I think I made the comment previously. A lot of these kind of, I mean, it's a large board and large number of items. A lot of these kind of correlate with each other. If we just grouped them up into a larger item, like with traffic and transportation and transit,
right,
and streets, make that one item. The question would be kind of, we're already somewhat of a subcommittee of city council at our function currently, so we're kind of making a subcommittee of a subcommittee. So I think it's kind of just, we almost need to keep them a little broader.
Can I make just a couple introductory comments about just reminding This is a staff-generated item. I didn't poll the board to see if you wanted to do subcommittees to begin with. But what we have heard from various boards through the years is how to make better use of your expertise. And I staff the WRFCAC, the Water Reclamation Facility Citizens Advisory meetings. And their desire was to form subcommittees, and they seem to be very effective in reviewing details and then bringing that back to the whole committee for discussion or at least presentation. And then the way I've seen this work in other boards is after those board reports, you would, if you had a desire, you would agendize that for a full discussion, look at a report, maybe direct staff to prepare a memo to council that would ask this that item be added to the staff's work program. But this item really was staff generated as perhaps a way to make better use of your expertise and interest. It's not a requirement that you do this. If you tell me right now that this is of no interest to you, that's fine too. So, and I didn't ask for Dave's permission to do this, but our public works staff thought this was a good way to make better use of your expertise.
Thank you, Rob.
As long as staff is talking, I'll say that. This is generally consistent, and I say generally because I didn't look at the details of this report, with what we're throwing out to other boards and commissions, because we really do value your advice and, frankly, your work. So we are, for example, the WRFCAC is providing a whole lot of real expert work and analysis that our staff would not be able to provide in the same amount of time. And so for example, I recently asked the Park and Recs Commission if they are going to go from 6 meetings a year to 10 meetings a year so that they can be more involved, because we really want that of all of our boards and commissions. And I see Mayor Irons sitting there. He and I have talked about, as you all well know, we've all talked about the importance of, it was here tonight, of so many of the things that we're going to be working hard on for the next 7 years in this city, water supply diversification, the wastewater treatment facility, the infrastructure that goes with that, streets, that having you meet perhaps more regularly and or on the off months have subcommittees that are doing some real fine focus work that they can then bring to the broader committee may be a huge asset and help to the city, because I mean I just named you know, so what just running through a few of the broad goals, not the 73 objectives underneath of them. Water supply diversification is one, streets is one, and the water treatment the water reclamation facility is one. So 30% of the most important things that we're about in the city for the next 5 to 7 years fall squarely in your lane, and we're looking for help.
Thank you for that. And we're here to give it. Anybody else have a comment about it? And you've also raised a new possibility, and that would be to meet more often, because I have some questions about if we met in subcommittees, would those be public meetings, or would we need to
ever? No, it's not a Brown Act type of meeting, because you only have two or three on the panel.
Right, so, yeah, right. Okay.
So what the Rec Commission has decided to board policies are set by the council, but we'll take this to council as the different boards and commissions consider is to meet once a month, not in July and not at Christmas, something like that, so that meeting more regularly, or you may choose to recommend that you meet a certain number, the six times, and then four additional times will be subcommittee months or something like that. So it's something you all can discuss, and it does not have to be decided tonight.
And they don't all have to be active at the same time, because on RFCAC, I sit on the engineering. I don't think we've turned in a report yet. The finance people have done an excellent job of giving information as a subcommittee, and the environmental has done it a couple times. But
well, let me hear the thoughts of it. Oh, do you want to say?
Oh, just as Susan tell Steve he can't get off that easy, because his engineering group helped us with our consultant selection.
Well,
I think you did great.
I think that was de facto that it just wound
you did
up
great,
that
you
way.
Did great work on that. So,
well, let's
I'm going to mix one personal thing in here if I
sure.
could.
Sure.
My wife flew back from the East Coast after 2 weeks away at 2 a.m. yesterday. So I thank you again for what you do, and I've enjoyed being here, but I'm going to slip out just in case you really want to talk about this for a long time.
Yeah. You may be excused, Mr. Buckingham.
Have a good evening.
All right. Let me hear from others.
Go ahead.
Anybody else have an opinion about this?
I have no problem with being on a subcommittee, but you keep saying you'd like this, that it would help you, but we don't have to decide on it. So, I mean, how do we go about getting on one of these subcommittees? Does it have to be the whole board is going to decide to be on a subcommittee, or can just different people on the board decide to be on subcommittees?
So, typically subcommittees are made up of less than a quorum of the board. That would give you more flexibility in meeting, not agendized meetings, that you could meet more informally, discuss an item, and then report that out to the full board at their meetings. So the way we did it for the WRFCAC was we came up with what the types of committees that were interested, and we came up with three of them, environmental, engineering, and finance, and people self-nominated for those committees, and then the board voted whether they wanted to appoint them to those subcommittees.
Okay, that's what I was asking. So the board has to decide if they're going to have, and then we choose the subcommittees. Okay, I was just wondering how do we get, if I wanted to be on a subcommittee and nobody else, the rest of the board didn't want to be on any, would that be okay, or do we choose? But you just answered that we would pick the ones that were pertaining to stuff we have.
And my list of topics was not all inclusive, nor does it as Mr. Parker pointed out, nor does it have to be this many. If we, right. like you said, if we picked all of these, it'd be a subcommittee of one for each of them, or you would sit on multiple committees, and maybe that's not.
Well, and the other choice is to not actually do maybe one subcommittee and add one 3 months later. You know, it's not like it all has to be defined today.
I can tell you, you know, one issue that will be coming up in this next year is this year is going to be a rebuilding program for our streets program. Mm-hmm. So we're doing more design work than construction work this year. We're retooling our pavement management system. So that would probably deserve some looking at. Also, one of the council goals is neighborhood traffic management plans. So I think between traffic and streets, that's where we could, you know, use some immediate help. Water isn't always an issue. And just to take a step back, this Public Works Advisory Board, historically, way back when, was formed from several different boards, Streets and Trees Committee, Water Committee, Cable Franchise, Garbage Rate Committee. So it was several boards, and they ran out of things to work on as individuals, so they formed them together. That's how we, during the recession, when we weren't doing a lot of capital work, that's why we went to six meetings a year, because we didn't have a lot of things coming to the board. Perhaps we want to look at both, forming subcommittees, and you could recommend to council to meet more often. If that's what Dave mentioned for the meeting schedule, was our former meeting schedule, 10 meetings a year, taking July and December off from the meetings.
I'm interested in being involved in a subcommittee that deals with traffic and streets. My concern, though, was that the lag between, I mean, we would have a meeting in an off month, then we would come to our meeting and say, hey, let's make an agenda item, and then two, maybe 4 months later, you'd finally start discussing it. So that was my only concern, is just the time lag between
the
items.
Well, I think it's going to be agenda-driven by what Rob's bringing forward. Like if it's a pavement management plan, he'd get a hold of you on the side, that subcommittee. You guys sit down, work through it, and then at the next board meeting, you kind of give a little presentation at that point in time of what was discussed. And it's like you spent the extra time, so you're kind of a little bit the expert on the board doing it. And then we vote on it accordingly. At least that's how it's worked with RoofCAC. I mean, it's mainly been for bond issues up to this point, or
finance issues,
finance kind of things. But it will be agenda-driven. So is there anybody else that wants to sit on the pavement?
Well, let me just ask a couple. I have some other questions before.
Okay.
I don't think we're ready to form these subcommittees quite yet. I'm really trying to get a sense of whether or not we want to.
You could open it up for public comment, see
I
if
could.
There's any public comment, and
yes,
then,
we
then
still
discussion.
Yes, indeed. Thank you very much. I appreciate that. So we're still kind of asking questions. I would like to know if this would take extra staff time if we form subcommittees. Would we be pestering you and disrupting your and your staff by maybe working on a subcommittee and...
I think the goal would be to take advantage of your time and almost put you to work for us a little bit. So I think it's going to be a two-way street. I think we'll be looking to you to read things, give feedback back to us, bounce ideas back across each other. I mean, that's, I think, the best way to... perhaps make these subcommittees work most effectively. I'm inventing it as I go along, by the way, here, because we've never done it for the Public Works Advisory Board, so I don't know how it will actually work.
Yeah, I don't. Anybody else have any comments they want to make?
Yeah, I got a comment. And I need the material more than 72 hours in advance because I like to do research on a lot of things. I do a lot of it online. I talk to some of my neighbors and so on. So it would really be nice if you're going to give us a subject to go out and find out what's going on with this, that we had it a week in advance before.
Oh, yeah, and we may be studying it for several weeks or months before it gels and it comes back to the board. So I don't think it'll be so much month-to-month driven, more as when it's ready to bring back.
Well, it's a good example, this proposal tonight for that. I know Deb called into Melissa, Texas, and these are the kind of things you do on a subcommittee on the side, and I think you checked with another vendor of that kind of product. That's what these people are doing. They're going out and researching it a little bit and then bringing that back to the board.
So much to validate.
Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly. Would that be any different, though, than what we're already doing to gather information when we know we have a topic before us? I'm just wondering if it would.
Well, what comes to my mind is that, let's say, somebody brought something for an agenda item on the streets, and the staff gives us some information, and we go, you know, we should form a subcommittee on this.
Yeah.
Have the subcommittee go out and check on it, and then at our next PWAB meeting, they can be the person at the podium and say, hey, this is what I found out, and this is what, you know, and give you our information. I think that's how it works. I don't think it's instantaneous where, hey, we're talking about streets. Well, what do you know? Right?
Okay.
Right.
Any more questions for Rob? Otherwise, we're going to open public comment on this issue.
Debbie's saying, so you wouldn't sign up, we wouldn't join subcommittees or sign up for something. That would be as they came up, we would be on them. We would.
The only example that I have recently on a board is our WRFCAC.
Yeah.
There's standing subcommittees to look at specific issues as the issues come up, but we know we have the three people or the two people, depending on which one it is, that can take that issue on, kind of fully digest it. And, for example, the Finance Subcommittee, they have done so. They are very excited about finance, grant research. They've done a lot of work on that, and it's been very valuable to our grant consultant to get kind of that legwork done so that they don't have to do that work, too.
Any more questions? All right. We're going to open public comment on this issue.
I'm sure we all want to go home. Barbara Dorr, and I'll ask the questions in the order my husband recommended. Are these subcommittees subject to the Brown Act? ? And are meetings open to the public? ? And I know you don't answer questions now. You want to turn the light on? But my understanding is there are ad hoc committees and there are standing committees, and what you're talking about is more of an ad hoc, meaning it's not subject to the Brown Act. And I would like to highly recommend that you notice your meetings, you have an agenda, and all of the materials from staff that are provided to you for your valuable input would also reap benefits from the whole community if they could get that information. And then I guess the question is, any information provided to any of the subcommittees, is that subject to the Public Records Act? So if I put in a request, all subcommittee information provided I would like a copy of, can that be done? Okay, and there were a number of committees, and I know when you talked last month, you talked about combining a number of them, and especially after Rob talked about his standing committees and the group that he's involved in. These, and like water, Rob, I think, said water, always an issue. I mean, that sounds like that's intrinsically a standing committee. Traffic, transportation, transit, that, again, is something that sounds like it's a standing committee and should be subject to the Brown Act with public invited and meeting notices, or at least, well, however you do that, and information made available to the public. Again, I would just recommend standing committees rather than it's mayor 8 years. I've been a mayor for 8 years on a council
for 4 years. I worked for Orange County for almost 13 years, and I know that staff doesn't want the public to know everything. And the Brown Act, therefore, only includes the standing committees. But you can try to hide things, or you can make things as open as possible. And the Brown Act is a guideline and a legal requirement, but it doesn't say that sunshine can't shine more and that you can't be more open and provide that information to the public. Thank you.
Thank you. We'll close public comment. Unless, is there more? Okay. All right. Public comment is closed. Any more discussion about this issue?
I've got a comment. And I worked with the city years ago, and we had subcommittees or ad hoc committees like this. And I was head of traffic, and we came over to the house, and we talked about the streets and the flows, and we looked at some stuff because the information was too much information to assimilate here, because we needed to actually get out and talk to some other people and so on. That's the thing that happens when you're actually not subject to Brown Act. And you can still bring that information back to the commission and talk to them about it and say, this is what we found. It doesn't mean that it's going to be voted on or that everybody's going to go along with it, but it saves time to go out and take a look at it and get a little more objective opinion of what's happening with what they're asking us to do.
Rob, did you want to answer Barbara's questions?
The easiest one first is, would it be subject to public records request? Of course it would be. Would these subcommittees be subject to the Brown Act? My understanding is they're not meeting regularly, so that they would not be subject to the Brown Act, even though they are a named committee. And I'm going to ask you to refresh my memory on the third question.
Back up to the microphone. Oh. Yeah. Barbara, sorry.
Sorry.
All those folks at home can't hear you.
Barbador, there's nothing more annoying than when your microphones aren't working or you can't hear what people say. Subject to the Brown Act, are the ad hoc committee meetings subject to the Brown Act? Meetings open to the public and or notice to the public? And you already answered the public records request. And I guess the issue was why standing versus ad hoc? Since they're ongoing subject areas forever that apply to you guys. And everybody on the, I'm sorry, every one of you, if there's a traffic issue, can all go out there and talk to those people. That's what the council does. They meet the developer, they go look at some land. You guys can all do that, too. I mean, so it can go beyond that detail. And I know people want to save time. Everybody's busy. And certainly the input you provide to staff is valuable. But those, I guess, were the questions. If not, I'll call you, Brad.
Any questions not answered? Yeah.
So if it's not subject to the Brown Act, we wouldn't notice it. It's your committee if you wanted to, a subcommittee, if you wanted to invite other members, talk to members of the public, you could. And we typically don't notice those committees because we don't know when the subcommittees are getting together.
All right. Where do we stand on this?
Well, I think you'd want to form. If you, it sounded like you could do the standing committees. The ones where you're preordained to certain groups, and then when he has an agenda item, he could throw it your way, or the others create them as you go as he has agenda items. Which way? For me personally, I'd rather not sit on one. I go to a meeting every month for RoofCAC. I sit there on another one. My plate's kind of full at the moment, but that's why I was putting it out to the rest of you.
I certainly like the idea.
I like the idea of creating a subcommittee as needed rather than have a standing one, as Stephen mentioned. Yeah.
Okay. And I go for that too, creating a standing committee as needed.
Or a subcommittee.
A subcommittee, as needed. Instead of all picking one now, but just as needed.
I'm in favor of create them as needed, but is there a way to know that they're needed prior to?
Yeah, Rob.
Like maybe a. Like, yes. I mean, once council decides to send something to us, can we somehow create it then rather than wait till we have a?
You would
staff
need
report?
To have a meeting to create the subcommittee. That I think. One of the reasons that drove the Parks and Rec Commission to requesting to increase their meeting frequency.
Right. And would that be considered an option? That would maybe accomplish the same thing, but then it would be open, the public would be invited, but we would just meet more often? So
we could bring that at the same time to City Council as the Parks and Rec Commission change in their meeting schedule.
Okay. Well, I think I would make the motion that is the way we go, that we actually increase our meetings. And I like your schedule, the 10-month schedule. We've been meeting almost every month anyway, so why?
Yeah, we do add a special meeting almost every other month.
Yeah, so that way the public would be involved. We wouldn't be, and we can certainly all, I agree, we can all go out and talk to people and make requests and do the kind of research that it looks like all of us are interested in doing, and that way the public would be involved. So that I would make that motion that we move to the 10 meetings a year.
I'll second that.
Question on that is, I believe because last time we had a conflict, Parks and Rec was meeting our Thursday.
We'd have to reset the figure out what day of the week would work for everybody, and probably reset our whole schedule. But it's not impossible to do. We've done it before.
Okay. All right. Any other discussion? All right. All in favor? Aye. Aye.
Reluctantly, aye.
All opposed? All right. Motion carries.
And this would not prevent you from creating an ad hoc committee if you so desired to do that at some future time.
And I assume if there's no agenda items, we could call the meeting off.
Yes.
Okay. Three of us can get together and have coffee.
Yeah, we could cancel the meeting if there's nothing. We wouldn't bring you together.
I'm doing once a month on the others.
I'm sure if we don't have any agenda items, there would not be a reason for us to meet.
I'll be going to more meetings than I think our mayor is.
Well, okay, then this meeting is adjourned to our next regular meeting of the PWAB board, which is August 20th, is that right? Thursday? I think.
I need to look on the calendar.
August 20th. All right, thank you all.